Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of game, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
There you have it, sir. And I catch you with a big, big step on. And we are ready to hear it.
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you
I'm here.
Are you guys, can you guys hear?
Yeah, I think you break it. I think you break it up. Mike Brewer. I think you break it up, man. Are you there?
Talking about me or Cali Mike?
Cali Mike.
Oh.
Me today. We got the Mouth of South of Memphis.
Yeah, right here. Ready to get into it. Austin, Texas. Jameis Winston. RG3, ready to get into it, man.
All right, coming from the Lone Star State.
Yeah, Mike, you're breaking up, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're breaking up, man. Can you guys hear me?
I hear you, Claudio.
All right.
You guys can hear me?
I can hear you now. We can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Something's still up, man.
Oh, hold on. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We can hear you.
Okay. All right. Look, let's get this show on the road. Not for having more technical difficulties. We had a big week going on. Let's start off with this Auburn Missouri game. University of Auburn, of course, they defeated the University of Missouri. It was kind of a foregone conclusion for me personally. Like I said, I'm still not really that impressed by either team. I definitely thought Auburn was going to be the favorite going in. And, the game wasn't that far from where I thought it was going to go. University of Auburn, while some people believe they're very close to, I've heard, even 95 Nebraska in
no.
terms of winning.
All right, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Ain't nobody say that, man. Keep going.
I have proof that you said that, though. But,
I know you're comparing the players in Nebraska.
They're a very good running team, and they're very efficient in what they do, And for some reason, it seems like they have luck on their side this season. And that's a powerful combination to have. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the national title game. Quazo, what do you think about this game?
Well, first of all, I never said that they were Nebraska 95. Let's just get that first and foremost. That's like not that individual team. I'm saying they're the closest to what you've seen in terms of the offensive scheme since the Nebraska of the 90s. That's what I said. I said that a few weeks ago. Everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. I knew what the heck I was talking about then when they were running all over Tennessee and only ran the ball like maybe one or twice, once or twice a game. They're the closest thing we've seen since the Nebraska of the 90s. The only difference is they're a rush, they're no huddle. Whereas Nebraska in the 90s, you know, they were huddle, you know, and you couldn't stop them. Whereas this offense kind of keeps you off guard, fast pace and things like that. So, but in terms of the triple option, that's the closest thing you've seen.
Okay. What do you think their chances are against FSU?
I think they have a good chance to win. It just depends. If Florida State doesn't make any turnovers. I noticed that in the ACC championship game, Jameis Winston, his only weakness, because he barely has any weaknesses at all, because he's like, that's another conversation, so I don't even want to go into that. But if there is one small weakness, he's a gunslinger. He's very competitive. You know, he tries to force his throws, and you saw that a lot. You saw that a little bit when he played Duke. You know, you got to be able to utilize your checkdowns. When something's not there, check down. You know, I think he has issues with that, but he'll progress as he matures as a quarterback. But this is the time. This game right here is not the time to do that. You have to take what the defense gives you.
Exactly. Okay, Tex, what'd you come away from with the Missouri
on? Oh, well, I kind of, you know, I feel the same way Clausel did. They said I was crazy too when I thought they, you know, they were kind of like Nebraska in scheme and run principles, but not the actual team, you know, with the same players. But I there's no doubt in my mind Auburn will win that game. It's just tough to stop them from running the ball. And they stick to it. And they just run, man. They don't do anything else. And in college, you know, just like in high school, if you know, you can be great doing one thing. I mean, there are several teams that can do both, but all you really have to do is just be great and execute one thing, one phase of the game on the offensive side of the ball, and, you know, you can have some success like what Auburn has had.
I think they can
beat FSU, but it's a tall order. You know, Florida State, they can run, they can pass. You have to make Jameis Winston make mistakes. And if you can pick him off, if you can get some turnovers and you can take advantage of the turnovers, then you have a chance. I still believe if you make Florida State one-dimensional with the quarterback, that you can box them in a little bit. But we'll see what happens. I know I'm laying in Vegas on Auburn, so you know, just I'm gonna take a shot at it. You know.
All right, shot down. What you think? Yeah, man.
Well, I didn't get a chance to see it on TV, but follow it on the radio. It seemed like, man, it was high scoring. It was an epic game, scoring. So it was a pretty good one. Auburn, I guess, like you said, they having a nice season, a real nice season. You could say a magical season. So you know they're going to put up a good battle against Florida State in the BCS championship.
One thing I did notice about this game.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said the guy from Auburn, the wide receiver, Burrell Beckham Green, he kind of had a little coming out party against Auburn on the national scene.
Yeah. Well, both of those guys are good, though. Both of them are, like, big power forwards, you know.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting, you know, they – teams are scouting them. So,
yeah, and I'm, you know,
taking note of both of them wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm looking at them and it's like, you know, what's Auburn? What are they going to do against Kelvin Benjamin in that slot? If they, you know, they couldn't, they really couldn't handle Green. So, I mean, like I said, I think it's going to be interesting. But also, you know, Green was the number one high school player coming out when he came out a couple of years ago. So,
yeah,
you know, big difference. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Missouri, too, now that Jonathan Franklin is about to graduate. But I think the backup has been pretty good, so they should be back on the scene next year also. Let's go on to the big dud that everybody kind of expected to happen but really didn't want to say. Well, actually, everybody did say it was going to happen. Ohio State, Michigan State. Ohio State had everything in their favor. They could have shut up all their critics. They had a chance to do everything everybody thought they could do. And they went ahead and played a typical, well, I ain't going to say typical Ohio State, but they went ahead and played a game you can't lose. You know, they kind of exposed a lot of Ohio State's weaknesses. Beginning of this season, we kind of saw Braxton Miller high on a lot of draft lists. I think people are definitely realizing unless a big game happens between now and next year, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. Like I said, there was people who, you know, people thought he'd come out after and go in the first round after this year, he would have a good year. But I think he's becoming more effort. He has a lot of weaknesses. And truthfully, I'm starting to kind of think like, with them, like kind of like last year with Michigan, like maybe they should even move Miller to a wide receiver or a running back and let that backup quarterback come in and play, because the backup quarterback, Dyson or Kenny Geaton or Titan, when Miller was hurt, he came in. That dude could throw. You know, he could actually make passes. And Miller, and like I say, you know, that definitely got exposed. He had 142 yards rushing. But he only had 100 yards passing, 8-15-1 completion rate. So, you know, he definitely was the game. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't really nobody surprised. People have been saying, Jesse Tech, they've been saying Ohio State is pretenders all year.
Yeah, you breaking up, man. Well, I mean, I'm just kind of glad. I kind of wish Missouri would have beat Auburn, too. But, you know, as an Alabama fan, but it is what it is. I mean, it's the Big Ten. You know, I mean, do I care that Michigan State beat Ohio State? I mean, if Ohio State came in, Florida State would have waxed them off the ground anyway. So, I mean, the Big Ten is who we thought they were, you know, the fourth best conference in the country.
Next.
I'm becoming to be more like Tex with the Big Ten. You know, it's like,
man, you know, I knew this junk was gonna happen, man. And you know what, Michigan State, yeah, they have, you know, they probably have the best cornerback in the nation in Denard, maybe. You know, they have some guys on their defense that can play that. Now, I don't think will be great come NFL time, but this is Ohio State. You know, it's always the Ohio State, blah, 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 this and that. And it's always the same story. You know, it's always the same story with the team. It's always the same story with the running backs. Always going first round and, oh, Carlos Hyde, this and that. You know, I mean, he's going to come out. He's going to, you know, bang his head against the wall and, he's going to be a Ohio State running back. So, the Ohio State players going to be Ohio State players. So,
you don't think
come
that
from everywhere, but go ahead.
You're trying to you don't think Ohio State brings good pros players into the league?
No, it's because the pro players come from everywhere. You got good players from everywhere, but there's no denying there's a stigma attached to Ohio State running backs and Big Ten running backs. There's no doubt about that. We know that history, and it's just hard pressed to break the mold. I mean, seriously, they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not really going to buy that. Not from Michigan, Ohio State, that's been kind of touch. Mike, what do you think about this?
What a way for Urban Meyer to lose his first game as a coach of Ohio State in the championship. And, man, with all the marbles, but, hey, he had a chance. I mean, again, it's a championship, so, hey, I think you got to play your best. And they didn't play their best on the defense part to the end for Michigan State to come back. I mean, kudos to Michigan State for doing what they did and knocking Ohio State out to get the chance to go to a BCS championship. But seeing that, I mean, maybe it's good that they did get beat because, you know, I don't know if they would have had a chance against Florida State, possibly, since they've been embarrassed. Big Ten has been embarrassed in the past few national championships, the BCS championships, I should say, so.
Okay. It's, like I said, I think this with Auburn is definitely going to be a better national championship game. You know, so like I said, I look forward to seeing it. Speaking of Ohio State, they're going to have the premiere of that 30 for 30 coming on this weekend about Maurice Claret.
Youngstown boys. Him and
Youngstown boys. Yeah.
So I definitely want to check that out. You know, like I said, that's about at least those Ohio State teams were okay. Let's move on here. Let's talk about the big new Heisman Trophy. The Heisman Trophy is kind of regained its luster after it lost it for a couple of years, like in the, a couple of years we had some real duds, you know, Eric Crouches and guys like that. But it's kind of regained its luster recently. It's right back up there as one of the top awards in the sports world. You know who the finalists are going to be. First of all, let me get you guys. You guys have any snubs that you think should be going to New York? And if so, why? Clauso?
I don't know. I'm content with all the people on there. I can't really think of anybody snubs right now. I think anybody I can think of is on that list. I mean, AJ McCarron's there for sure. I'm always never really been an AJ McCarron fan, but I mean, TJ Yeldon's pretty good. I can't really think of anybody that's not already there. So I'm content with my list.
Okay. Mike,
I was kind of surprised that Teddy Bridgewater didn't get it on there. That's the only thing on that. Yeah. Why,
He did have a pretty good season. You know, the thing with Bridgewater, even though, like I said, even though dude from Northern Illinois lost, you know, those losses, they hurt guys like that who play for the smaller conference, smaller market teams. Mm-hmm. You know, so those kind of losses hurt them. It's funny, they're actually going to be playing, Louisville is actually going to be playing Miami in the Russell Athletic Bowl. You know, so that's going to be an interesting game, probably Bridgewater's last game being played against a team who he was originally committed to in his hometown team. So that'll be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I might actually go to that one too. So interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in Orlando, so I might take a trip up there just to see him play.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'll be a pretty good one. Tex, what about you? Any snubs you got?
No, I like the list. I don't care about the Heisman Award. But you know, I don't have an issue with the list, not at all. But I still, you know, I don't think the Heisman Award's the best player in college. It's just, you know, I don't know what it is. You know, it's to me, you know, it's still kind of a what's the word that I use to describe it? It's
a fraternity, a good old boys network type of thing?
Nah, it's just it's
political.
It's a farce of an award. I mean, you know, anybody can win it.
It's a political award. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I just think you don't have to be that good to win it. I mean, Chris Winkie won one, didn't he?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Man, you're breaking up, yo.
Well, I keep hearing some feedback. Does somebody stare on loud or like that, or their speakers? Because I keep hearing a lot of feedback. It seems to get cutting out.
Not mine.
It's not mine either.
But make sure that's that. Like I say, it's been, you know, down years with Winky and, you know, guys like Eric Cross. But like I said, for the most part, I think the Heisman, you know, I think it started making a comeback recently. You know, I think pretty much they've gotten it right the past couple of years.
I feel like last year, I just never liked it, you know. But part of my reasoning is how many of these guys win the Heisman and they go to the NFL and actually be good. But I kind of turned my nose up last year when they didn't, you know, they had Teo in there, but you don't have Clowney in there. Or, you know, you didn't even consider Jarvis Jones, who were better defensive players than Teo, you know, in college. But, you know, I guess that's the political side of it or whatnot. So I'm just kind of
we all know what that's about. You know, that's Notre Dame. We all know what that's about. One player that surprised me making it there is the guy out of Boston College, Andre Williams. You know, he had an excellent season, but, you know, this is a 5-loss team. You know, and, you know, like I said, they were never really contenders, you know, in any time this season, you know, even for their conference title. So,
well,
that kind of surprised me.
I mean, what this boils down to, my bad. I didn't mean to interrupt you. What this boils down to is, man, people don't want Winston to win this award, but they have no choice but to vote for this guy. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And we all know it. They don't want to vote for him for Heisman.
You think they're trying to give them as many options as possible? Because it is six finalists. I haven't seen it be six finalists ever. It's usually like three or four.
They don't want this guy to win the Heisman. I could care less if he's charged or not. He should have won the Heisman, in my personal opinion. But he's not charged because of some. It was bogus anyway. But that's what this boils down to. They don't want him to win the Heisman, okay? And that's what it boils down to. They will come up with.
I did see a story from one sports writer who said he's not going to vote for Winston because of the charges, and he actually did cast his vote for the dude from Boston College. And he came out, I think it was a guy from, like, Charlotte, North Carolina, when he came out.
He said him having sex
showed that he wasn't morally right or something.
sexually active or something crazy, you know, but he saw it too.
Exactly, man. I mean, and if you want to judge somebody's integrity, give a list of all these other guys' integrity. We don't know what these other guys are doing. I mean, that's just a bunch of – they don't want him to win because he – we can get into that a little later in the show. But anyway, that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. They don't want him to win. But he's going to win anyway, I think. But he'll win anyway. But I'm very interested to see what's going to happen. I'm going to watch the College Football Awards tomorrow. Because he's going to win some awards there. I'm going to watch the Heisman because you know they are going to have to – are they going to clap for him? I mean, what's going to be the buzz when he gets these awards? They're going to ask him these questions. I mean, he knows they're coming, so he's prepping. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen here.
Let me ask you this. Who do you think that they could give it to and possibly justify it if they don't give it to him? The only person I can think of is your boy. And, you know, AJ McCarron,
are you kidding me? Come on, man. AJ McCarron.
That's your boy, man. I mean, think of
that name. I don't want him to win it, but I'm a Winston fan.
You know what? I've heard people say, but this is what I hear, though, and I've seen this a little bit. If, you know, people are saying Winston deserves the Heisman, but if he doesn't get it, folks think McCarron ought to get it. See, people don't think Trey Mason ought to be the, or Williams should get it, or Manziel. They like McCarron, or they like Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
That's what I've been seeing.
because you got to understand, he's the I don't want to say Bird and Magic. Let me just say something else. I'm going to say Winston's the Ali, and then McCarron's the Frazier. I don't know. I can't give an analogy, man. They want McCarron to win it. They want him to win it. But, you know, Winston deserves it, man. He's the best player, and they can't do anything about it. That's what I love about this so much. They can't do anything about it, you know. So hopefully the people
– Dennis Winston is 8th in passing yards. AJ McCarron 39th.
I don't want to gloat to you guys, but I said this at the beginning of the year. If he was out for the draft, I'd draft him number one. And you guys told me I'd lose my job. But I'm just saying that, you know, this guy. I'm just saying this guy.
Would you have taken Johnny Manziel number one last year?
No. That's a different story. No, he's not physically as gifted as Jameis Winston.
He's not.
No, he's not. No, he gets knocked around and hurt easily.
Okay.
No, Winston can take NFL hits.
What part of what? I mean, besides the size. I mean, where
the accuracy.
Manziel is more accurate.
I think Manziel's faster than Winston, and I think Manziel's accurate as hell, man. I mean,
Winston's accurate. No, hold on. First of all, Manziel's more accurate than Winston. If you want to go by percentage, Winston's receivers be dropping the balls left and right. And he's still completing almost 70% of his passes. I don't know what you're talking about. Winston's more accurate than Manziel. That's not true.
Johnny,
I disagree.
Or
they're equivalent to each other. It's not like Johnny Manziel is, like, way more accurate than Jameis Winston. That is not the truth.
Nah,
all right?
Nobody's saying that.
But he's not even – they're in the same ballpark. You can't you can go look at your little box score. I know that's what you're doing, Kelly, Mike. You can't just go up there and say, okay, he's 73%, and then Jameis Winston's 69%, so Johnny Manziel's more accurate than Winston when Winston's receivers have been dropping the balls left and right this year. So I'm just saying that Winston has the accuracy, the arm strength. He can make all the throws. He's cerebral. I mean, come on, man. This guy has it all. This is the best quarterback I've seen in college in about the last 20-some years. And he's a freshman.
Let's see the strides from first year start to the second year start. I've seen Manziel become a better quarterback. For all that stuff on the field, I mean off the field, Manziel does all that foolishness. The old buddy works on his trade. He works on his game.
Right, and that's fair.
That's one thing that you can't take away from him is that he is coachable. And
that's fair.
And this is not saying Winston is not. I'm just saying let's see what happens next year. Let's see to improve. See if we get some improvement. Because we definitely got it with Manziel. You think Manziel was dynamic his freshman year? He was a better quarterback this year.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. And I think Winston will be a better quarterback next year. I think if he stays all 4 years, he will go down as the greatest quarterback in the history of college football easily.
That's thinking, and that's hypothetical. So
okay, but my thing is he's the best freshman quarterback. He's the best freshman quarterback I've seen. In the history of college football, and the thing is, you know,
he's not better than Johnny Manziel was last year, dude.
I disagree. I think he was better than Johnny Manziel last year as a quarterback. Yes.
Based on presence, based on your team, you can clearly see that Florida State's a better team last year.
You don't even let me speak, man. You can clearly see that Florida State was a better team last year than it was this year. Under E.J. May with Johnny Manziel. They are blowing teams out the frame this year. They wouldn't have been doing that with E.J. May with a quarterback last year.
They weren't?
So, I mean, come on, man. It is due to the quarterback. It's clearly due to the quarterback.
They weren't blowing teams out last year?
Not like they are this year. They're blowing almost every team out. The closest team to them was, I think, Boston College or something. That's the closest team they had to them. They've been blowing teams. You can make a case that this is maybe the best BCS team ever. I know I'm not going to say 2001 Miami Hurricanes, Texas, but people can make that case. So I'm just saying, man, this is clearly due to Jameis Winston. It's clearly due to him. He's the best we've seen.
We're starting to get into the insanity area of the show now, folks.
Okay, whatever. It is what it is, man. And I know Watley's going to come on here and say, well, a guy catches the ball, and then he runs it for 30, 40 yards down the field. Winston is clearly the difference between last year and this year's Florida State team. And I knew that ever since I saw him the first game this year. When they played Pitt, I said, man, this team is the best team in the country. I knew it from the beginning. And Chi-Town Mike can verify what I said.
Okay, we're gonna debate on that when I let these callers in. Before we let the callers in, though, I want everybody to give me your top one or two Heisman winners of all time that you think had the best Heisman winning season that you think are the best. Clauso?
One or two of all time? Well, my personal favorite, obviously, is Charlie Ward. That's my number one all-time favorite. Number two, that's hard for me to say. I kind of – hopefully if Winston wins, he'll be my number two. But if not, then – well, I don't want to stroke your ego, but I'll say Reggie Bush. I like Reggie Bush.
Mike?
I like Michael Vick, number one.
He ain't even win the Heisman.
Yeah. All right, talking about Heisman. Oh, never mind. I thought you were talking about players. Oh, the BCS. I mean, not doing the Heisman. Yeah. Of course, Cam Newton, you could say, up there. I mean, he definitely deserved it, and when he did. Can't go wrong with Reggie Bush, what he did. And that's all I can think of right now. For the guys that was there, like, man, he just, you know, had it.
All right, Tex.
I got to go, man. I got to go with, I want to say Reggie Bush, but it was vacated. So I'm gonna say Bo Jackson. I'm going to say Bo Jackson and Ricky Williams.
You took my Ricky Williams. I was about to say Ricky Williams. People don't realize how dominant Ricky Williams was that year, dude.
Yeah,
oh my
but you know, man, he stepped on campus, he should have been the back. They was I forget what dude's name is. That was a tailback. I can't. Hodges came. Hodges. No, Rick was there. I think Hodges got there in 96. No. It was, man, who was they? I'm trying to think who was they.
I see it here. Sean Mitchell.
Sean Mitchell. But Hodges got there in 96. You know, he played football up here in Dallas. I remember they had him at fullback when he was a freshman, but he was still gigging, you know, as a fullback, all straight dives. So I have to go with Ricky Williams and Bo Jackson.
Okay, yeah, Ricky was bad, man. Of course, I got to say Reggie Bush. Vacated or not, that man was electric. I've never seen a player that electric at the running back position. Like I said, I want to say Ricky Williams. I'm not going to say Ricky because Tech set up. I'm going to go ahead and say I take the old school Barry Sanders. You look back at that season that he had. That was probably the greatest season of college football ever. Like I said, he didn't even start. You know, for his first couple of years, he was playing behind Thurman Thomas at Oklahoma State, and that season he had, he was unstoppable. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Barry. Let's get some callers in here. We're going to start off with, let me start off with the 850. Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, what's up? I guess I could go on, I could talk about the SEC title game. I really was like kind of discouraged about it. Because you know, I thought Missouri was going to show up. People were talking about their, you know, their defensive line and that type of stuff. And Auburn just, you know, ran around them and ran through them and all that type of stuff, one. And it wasn't like, you know, the Auburn Tiger defense was doing that much either. So I pretty much was turned off by the game midway through the third quarter. And if y'all saw me posting around on Facebook during that time, man, I was joking around that the SWAC title game was better than the SEC title game.
Yeah, I was watching both.
Yeah, and the SWAC title game was more exciting, man. I was like, man, that's the type of finish that I would have expected out of the SEC title game, but I was very disappointed in that. The other thing was what is that, the Big Ten title game? And people were suspecting that Ohio State. I mean, people, it doesn't seem like people are giving credit to Michigan State. So my thing is, you know, Michigan State had the defensive players and the personnel to pretty much stop Ohio State. And it wasn't like, you know, Ohio State was really, you know, doing that much, you know, to actually put Michigan State on their heels, especially in the first half.
What room are you in?
Yo, what is that?
You know, I think it's the expectations that people have for Ohio State, you know, being undefeated for 2 years. And like I said, this was going to be Ohio State's chance to vindicate themselves, basically. You know, if they would have made it to this national championship and won, and they didn't do that.
What is that in the background, dude? Does anybody know?
I like somebody at a hotel or something.
Yeah.
No, we're good. I'm about to put some on the CMT Firestorm page.
All right.
Ohio State, they had a chance to vindicate themselves in this game and go on to vindicate themselves in their conference. And, you know, once again, they let everybody down. You know, I mean, we're going to see what happens in the BCS game, but, you know, it's like, damn, you know, really Ohio State again, you know. So.
Yeah, and the thing about the BCS title game, I really bet Florida State ahead by 14 points. The thing is that I know Auburn is one-dimensional, and they do variations of that formation, running formation, but this Florida State team is something different. This is like the old, you know, 94, 95 teams that started that whole run that they had with multiple years at the top five, you know, and when they had the Marvin Jones and the Derrick Brooks all the way to the Peter Bowles and, you know, that type of thing. So that's going to be a whole different animal. And I'd say that this defense is going to be what they expect the Alabama defense to be.
The thing is, though, like with FSU, I actually think their defense was better last year. Maybe it was just personnel-wise, but to me, I think they, you know, especially on their line, I think they were a little bit better last year. I mean, just in my opinion, you know.
I think it was the personnel that they were talking about, because then they had Bjorn Warner on that defensive line last year.
They had a
yeah, he was one of them, and then there was somebody on the other side.
Yeah, they lost a couple of guys in the draft, so you know, like I said, I just think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think FSU is going to win, but, you know, like I said, Auburn, they got something going on with them, you know. I don't know if they got some type of voodoo or something, but them boys, like I said, they get some luck going, and, you know, they pull wins out of the hat, you know. So it's like, with a team that does that and can run the ball, it's hard to go against them, you know. So, but, you know, like I said, I got FSU to go ahead and pull it out. It's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say one thing, too. Speaking of that, you know, the past five straight national championships has been a team from the state of Alabama. So I think the state of Alabama needs to get credit in terms of the type of football talent that they have. I just want to put that out there. I know you guys disagree with me, but that's another conversation in itself. Let's keep going.
First of all, you wearing a University of Auburn T-shirt this past weekend?
I was wearing Auburn University T-shirt. Excuse me? Excuse me?
What?
Excuse me? I never said I wore an Auburn University T-shirt. I don't know, but you're breaking up one. And no, that, I'm Alabama all day, every day. But I'm just saying, you know, the state of Alabama has is in five straight national championship games. That's just the point I'm saying, you know. That's just all I'm saying. You got to give us our props. You got to give us our credit, man. And it ain't like those players. It ain't like, and we got players from different states, but the guys leading the show.
They pull them all over the country, so it's not. They're from the state of Alabama.
Florida State had to go. Florida State, the top two quarterbacks had to go from the state of Alabama. Really, this is an SEC versus an SEC game. Really, if you really think about it, this is just a strictly SEC versus an SEC game. And I know you don't like the SEC, James, but I'm just keeping it real here. That's pretty much what it is. You know,
just gone into an insane area again.
Don't want to admit the truth. That's all it is. I'm done talking about it.
That was just so insane. it's really going to be an SEC game now. I mean, come on, dude. That's what it pretty much is.
These are SEC coaches. That's what they are. I mean, Jimbo Fisher's pedigree is SEC. You know, I mean, that's what it boils down to. You know, that's how you learn to coach in the SEC culture.
I really hope Florida State just tears these cats up too. I really hope that too. So SEC stuff.
I know you do.
Hold on.
Oh, I know you do. That's what makes me. That's why I'm gonna love it if Auburn wins.
I think you used to be an Auburn fan, Clavel.
No, I never have been an Auburn fan. Never.
Yes, you did.
I don't
want to go too far into this, but I remember you used to tell me about Auburn when we were in college, dude. You used to talk about
I used to be telling you about Jason Campbell. Jason Campbell was my boy in college. That's why I was like, man, this is going
to
be good. That's why I used to be saying. And Cadillac Williams, that's what I used to be talking about in college.
No,
I used to be saying Jason Campbell and Cadillac Williams, you got
to
watch out for them.
You used to tell me about Fred Beasley. You used to tell me about Fred Beasley because he played for the 49ers, and you said he was one of your favorite players at Auburn, and you used to tell me about him all
the
time.
Yeah, he's from the neighborhood. He's from my neighborhood. Yeah, of course. He's right around the corner from where I live. Of course I'm going
to
be like, man,
who's Auburn, you said he was one of your favorite players at Auburn.
Well, he lives in my neighborhood. He used to live in my neighborhood. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. It's fine by me.
I don't worry.
I never heard Clavel talk about Auburn, though. He's always been Bama.
Oh, yeah, I'm always been Bama.
Mike, you don't remember Clavel used to talk about Auburn. He used to talk about, would I figure out, was that school Alabama A&M or Alabama State when he used to argue with that dude, right?
you got to have an HBCU. First of all, hold on, no. We all went to HBCUs. I don't know about you, except for Jason. We all went to HBCUs, so you have an HBCU team that you root for, and then you have a regular team you root for because the HBCUs can't compare to the regular team. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I went to FAMU. I went to FAMU, but I was raised in Montgomery, Alabama by Alabama State University. So, I mean, come on, man.
I never did that either.
I took classes at FAMU, but that don't mean I'd be screaming that go Gremlin Tigers, dude.
I've never done that.
Yeah, you were from Tallahassee. You used to live in Tallahassee. I used to live in Montgomery, Alabama. That's where Alabama State University is. That's a different story. If you see players from your neighborhood or you see players that you went to that school with, or you like players from my high school, some players from my high school went to Auburn to play football. So, you know, if you see them starting on the football team, you're going to be like, man, these guys are so good.
And players from my high school went and played for the University of Central Florida and the University of Alabama. But you don't see me screaming, hey, go Central Florida Knights, man. Nah, dog. That ain't how
I go. No, I never said go. I know, first of all, no. Don't think what I said manipulate it. I never said I was, like, a fan of those teams. I was like, man, this dude is – I'm talking about the player. That's who I'm talking about.
All right.
I can't wait till the wheels fall off of your bandwagon, Clavel.
Oh, please.
Anyway, let me put you on hold, Jan. I want to bring in another caller. Let me bring in 813. What's going on? You're on with 10-3 Firestorm.
Hello?
813.
Hello?
Wow, hey, what's up, man?
What's up? Y'all here?
Yeah.
Mr. Watley. All right, I'm gonna go backwards with my statements from what you guys started from forwards. My two greatest Heisman Trophy winners that I've seen in my life, and I'm a little older than all of y'all, is Cam Newton and Vince Young. And I say that because let me finish.
I'm not gonna get into all that. Vince Young never won the Heisman, so no.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
Yes,
Reggie Bush didn't win it.
No, he did.
Reggie Bush didn't win it.
Vince Young never won a Heisman. You've never seen
I'm leaving Reggie Bush out of this. Let me finish. Of the two. Of all the teams I've seen, those are the two young gentlemen that, to me, 100.1% were responsible for what their team did from the first game to the national championship. And I call Vince Young a Heisman because they took it for Reggie Bush, which means it's his. Now, you say what you want, but they took it from Bush, which means literally he was second place. That makes him the Heisman Trophy winner, does it not?
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't show that any record book.
Wait a minute. If they vacated it from Reggie Bush, then that goes to the second man.
Let's move on. What's
the
next thing you want to talk about? That's insane.
You got a point,
Come
Cole.
On, Mel.
Wally got a point, hey.
Mike, please.
If they vacated it. Now, listen to me. What they said was Reggie Bush did not win it. So that means the second-place person.
That's not what they said. They said
it's not
the
as vacated. But I do believe that Vince Young should have got it, though, anyway. So it don't even matter. But
you're a hater, Clavel.
Okay, so,
I can respect that. I mean, but see, I think
– You ever notice whenever somebody says something crazy, Michael always goes, they got a point. Like, yeah.
You can sit and say that what I'm saying is crazy, but, you know, it's based on facts.
No, it isn't.
It really is. If you watch that year,
Reggie Bush was not better than Vince Young. So therefore, it's not based on facts. You can't just.
I don't know about that now, Wadley. You remember that Reggie Bush was doing it that year. That play against Fresno State. You remember that play against Fresno State?
Vince Young did it that year against
Vince Young did do it that year. I do agree. Vince Young was doing it that year too. You know.
Okay.
But,
now, anyway. Now that's my two Heismans. Real
quick before you go to the next topic, was that a shot against Winston when you said those two were the totally responsible for their team's winning?
Look! I'm still getting the win.
Is that a shot against Winston?
Hold on, I'm still getting to Winston. Hold on.
Oh, that jersey's getting loaded too, by the way. But okay.
Hold on, I'm still getting to Winston.
So was USC.
Now the SEC championship and the championship game. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I did not like Missouri to begin with. I didn't think Missouri was as good as they are. Yeah, I guess they are. I just really think the Eastern Conference of the SEC is just super weak right now. They need some rebuilding. They need to get their focus, and they need to get in the gym because the Western Conference of the SEC is just dominating right now. But the East went through this for some years, too, where the West was weak. Anyway, I never really thought Missouri had a chance. I can be honest with you, it broke my heart that Auburn beat Alabama because I really thought Alabama is the best team in the United States in college football. And that's just being honest. I mean, I'm not being biased. So that whole conference championship game just wasn't even exciting to me. It just wasn't, because I couldn't let myself cheer for either team because I didn't like either team.
Do you think it wasn't excited because you didn't like either team? Because I didn't think it was an exciting game, period, you know, regardless of games.
Well, I don't know that even if it were exciting as far as points and stuff, that I would have been excited because I didn't like either team. So that SEC championship game was just not what I wanted it to be this year. I was very, very happy to be able to switch over and see Michigan State put a mud hole in Ohio State. That just, boy, I could have kissed the dude. I was so happy.
I don't know about that now.
Yeah. Anyway, but my point is, I really thought Ohio State did not deserve it, even though I was saying if they went undefeated, they should go to the national championship. I think they played a cupcake conference just like the ACC, and I don't think either one of them deserve it, but we'll go on.
Wait a minute.
SEC championship. Now we get to the Winston comments that Mr. Clausell Mathis called himself making about how he absolutely thinks that it was Jameis Winston that is the reason why Florida State is Florida State this year.
Absolutely.
That is the worst comment I've ever heard out of a human being's mouth.
Man, I don't know, man. You need to get your head examined. Well,
now let me explain why.
Explain it to me, please.
E.J. Manuel took Florida State last year 12-2. That is the best record Florida State has had since 1999. 14 years. You cannot tell me that was a fluke. Why can't you tell me that it was a fluke? Because the year before, they were 9-4. So that tells me they recruited, them boys started playing, and them boys had stepped it up. And I'm telling you, if E.J. Manuel were at Florida State right now, they'd be doing the exact same thing they're doing with that freshman. It is not about that freshman. It is not about that freshman. They got a good team. Last year they were 12-2. So you cannot tell me that this is just all about the freshmen coming in and taking this team and propelling them. No, I do not believe that. They are playing a bunch of cupcakes, and they went undefeated because they play a bunch of cupcakes. And I think that they are going to get their ass handed to them in the national championship game.
Well, I completely disagree. And, you know, to sit up here and say that if E.J. Manuel – was going to be the quarterback, knowing what you saw, and I know you were at the football game on Sunday, weren't you, Wiley?
Yes, I was.
I know, and you're going to sit up here and say that saw this Sunday in Tampa, because I was there too, from E.J. Manuel.
Okay,
are you kidding me?
This
is ridiculous, man.
This was against college football players.
Clearly, Winston has made a difference in this team. It's clear to me. It's really clear to me. And anybody that's watching the games is making a big difference.
You got
He's making a big difference
on the freshman, you know.
No, Winston showed me in one game than what E.J. showed me in 4 years. I think Winston would be a better quarterback right now in the NFL than E.J. Manuel would be. I really do. I really do. He will be able to play right now.
When E.J. wasn't hurt, he was balling, Clausell.
Exactly, and I think Winston would be better. Exactly, and I think Winston would be better than that.
Why do you think he went so high in the draft? E.J. Manuel.
Because he's an A-side player. Because one, he's an A-side player.
Had he still been to Florida State.
What'd you say?
E.J. Manuel would be – they would have the exact same undefeated record.
Yeah, and
that's
the most ridiculous statement I've heard you say. That's the most ridiculous statement right there. What you just said right there, that sentence right there. You said they would have the same record if E.J. Manuel was starting this year. That's
same
the most
record.
Ridiculous statement I've ever heard you say.
Same
and it is clearly obvious that
They went 12-2 last year, Clausell. You going to tell me that the two losses they had, they lost because of E.J. Manuel?
Yeah, you can make that case, yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
The North Carolina State game, he didn't look that good. The Florida State game last year, he didn't look good. The North Carolina State game that he lost last year, he didn't look good. The Florida game, he didn't look good, no. I was watching both of the games.
I'm telling you, E.J. Manuel would have did the same thing with them boys this year. It ain't got nothing to do with the freshmen.
And he's up for the Heisman now. He's up for the Heisman. His freshman
he's
year.
The only
he came
team
in.
Football.
And I want, hold
up.
And I want everybody to listen to this again. And I want everybody to listen to this again. I know you're listening to this, James. When he came in, when Winston came in, I ain't gonna lie to you, he's my favorite player right now. When Winston came in, yeah, when Winston came in, he was the number one recruit in the nation. There was so much hype behind this guy. It's somewhat similar to when LeBron James came in the league. Everybody was wondering, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, and he came in and he put on a show on the national TV stage. In terms of living up to expectations, in terms of accuracy, arm strength, all the things, I'm just saying, man, this guy is clearly the difference maker in the country. It's clearly.
I can agree with you when you go so far, but then it's like you just go too far. And you go,
What statement am I going too far on?
By comparing him to LeBron James?
No, I'm not saying the hype for him was just as much as LeBron James. No. But what I'm saying is in terms of expectations
like
out of this
hype
guy.
LeBron James.
But people were saying this guy was up for the Heisman before the year started and nobody ever saw him play.
Nobody was saying that. Only you were saying that, Clausell.
No, they weren't. They were saying it on ESPN on Part of the Interruption. I remember them saying that. Look at the tape. So my point is they were saying this guy is up for the Heisman. Yes.
Personally, I think that you're a little off there. Why? Because that white girl that filed them charges, she don't think he lived up to expectations.
Anyway. I guess whatever. I'm trying to process that joke. But one thing is this.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this. When just the expectations, man. They were saying this guy was going to be the Heisman Trophy winner, up for the Heisman. You know what I'm saying? Nobody ever saw him play, so he had all that pressure on him.
If he was that much better, than E.J. Manuel, how come he didn't start his freshman year? Why did he redshirt?
That's what I want to find out. That's ridiculous. What was Jimbo Fisher thinking? I don't know what he was thinking. That's the question. He should be fired for something like that, but he's not. I guess, you know what? He felt that he had E.J., and then he felt like he had Trickett, and he didn't think that Winston was going to be as good as he thought that he was. But I guess expectations showed that he was better than he thought he was. Because I was like, why isn't this guy starting over E.J. now? You got a point there, Cali Mike. I'm like, that is stupid not to start him last year. He was suited up.
Oh, wow.
When they were losing that game against NC State, he was suited up, but they didn't even put him in the game. But it
because
is what it
they
is.
Knew who the better quarterback was.
Oh, please. No, The
quarterback for NC State who won that game was Mike Lennon, too, by the way, who you said is sorry. But we'll
I know. Exactly. You know, and that should say enough about E.J. Manuel right there. That doesn't say enough about E.J. Manuel right there.
On one hand, you down E.J. Manuel, but on the other hand, you go to bat for Josh Freeman. Why is that?
I go to bat for Josh Freeman. One day I doubt E.J. Manuel, and on the other hand, I bat for Josh Freeman. Well, you got to understand, you look at these situations here in Tampa. I'm batting for Josh Freeman. I'm saying they're coming up with all types of frivolous reasons to try to throw him out the way. If the guy wasn't good,
let me ask you a question.
But they're trying to turn this guy. They were trying to turn this guy into a B-side player. I know Matt's listening.
Now that he's went to another team, is it clear that Josh Freeman isn't who you thought he was?
He only had one opportunity. He didn't know the offense, so you haven't given this guy an extra opportunity to see what he can do. That's the point I'm saying. He's only got one shot. Did he take advantage of that shot? No, Tex. He did not take advantage of that shot.
Inaccuracy and bad decision.
In that game, he was.
In
that game against the Giants, he was very inaccurate. He had an opportunity. He didn't take advantage of the opportunity. I hope he gets another opportunity. I don't know if he will. But to sit up here and say,
I still say Florida State Seminoles in 2013 with the senior E.J. Manuel would be the same record they are right now. He went 12-2 last year. You cannot tell me that they wouldn't have ran through them just this year. It is not the quarterback. They have a good team.
I guess. And one thing, too, Callie, Mike, I'm not down on E.J. May. I want the guy to do well, you know. But I went to the game on Sunday when they played Tampa. He did not look good. But I hope he does better. But what he did this past – I think Geno Smith should have been drafted before E.J. Manuel, but since he was an A-side player, based on the performance, based on the college performance, let me finish what I'm saying. I know Shatown's laughing. Hold on, based on the college performance, all right, between comparing E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith, I felt like Geno Smith should have been drafted first. But since E.J. Manuel was an A-side player, they chose E.J. before they chose Geno. That's what the boils down to.
But Clausel, you can't say E.J. Manuel was going to watch by the first round. And he got first
I knew
round,
he was going to go first round. The reason I knew he was going exactly, and I'm going to tell you why he went first round. Because he's an A-side player, and you look at his statistics last year, they're misleading. They're not as bad. He had a very good touchdown-to-interception ratio, and he had a very decent completion percentage. All right, but when the game was on the line, when it was big time, he didn't show up. Except for maybe Clemson. That's it. Except for maybe Clemson. That's it.
Geno Smith has 9 touchdown passes and 20 interceptions this year.
I know
somehow
that.
He caught
I know
up,
that.
Somehow he caught up to Eli Manning, who was on a historic pace. Geno caught up to him and is about to pass him.
Hey, but I'm going to say what Tech said. Hey, at least he's not afraid to make mistakes. Let him make his mistakes, you know.
Hey, I need y'all to take me off and put Matt on, because he just said something to me on Facebook that's making me giggle at my stomach. You got to put him on.
What, Mike Glenn is the best quarterback in the draft?
Oh, he's yeah. Ain't
exactly.
That the funniest thing you ever heard?
Exactly. And, you know, and I'm hoping.
Talking
you know,
about
I'm,
Mike Glennon was the best quarterback taken in the 2012 draft. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But the point, the thing is, I'm hoping that, you know, and I'm liking it. I hope that the rest of the Tampa Bay community thinks like that right there, because I don't want Teddy Bridgewater coming to Tampa. I don't want Johnny Manziel coming to Tampa. I want them to – I think they're right. I like Tampa's ranked number 9 right now in the draft. So I hope they keep winning some games so they can get like a 15 to 20 pick. I don't want them to get like a top 10 pick.
They were ranked dead last.
I'm going to tell you, if Johnny Manziel comes to Tampa, I'm renewing my season tickets. If he don't, I will see you later, Raymond.
I don't
James.
See Johnny Manziel and Shiano coexisting. I ain't seeing that.
I would love to see Johnny Manziel come to Tampa. That would be awesome.
No, but they want to shoot their guns with Glennon. I think the fan base wants Glennon. They want Glennon, and I'm happy for him.
Glennon's been performing, man. I mean, he really didn't play that well against Buffalo. But other than that, 15 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, 50% passing.
Have y'all watched a game with Glennon? It's one thing
I watched
to
him
hear
win four.
That.
I know he's won four more wins than Josh Freeman.
Football. What?
Four wins than Josh Freeman.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I hope you keep. I hope the fans think like you, Kelly
things.
Mike. I'm hoping the fans think like you, Kelly Mike.
Hold on. First of all, we can't compare Mike Glennon to Tony Romo. Hold on, actually, let's leave that for NFL. Let's wrap up our calls. Let's put y'all on.
Yeah, later.
I want to talk about that Winston accuser real quick.
Okay, let's jump into that. I want to tell you, let's talk about that and let's talk about your boy Nick Saban leaving University of Alabama. So I know you all like that.
But, Oh yeah, let's do that text. Tell me what you explain to me.
The accuser in the Jameis Winston trial, was the press conference today?
No, it's gonna be Friday.
Okay, I don't know why they're waiting until Friday. That's kind of a stern. But anyway, this accuser is supposed to be holding a press conference. They released the 911 tapes today. I listened to those. The 911 call was actually made by her friend. In the call, she says that she didn't know who raped her, and then she had just met the dude at Potbelly's. And I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I got the audio tape here from Black Sports Online, but they have, I don't know, this dude don't even care. He put her name out there. Shoot. He put her name out there, and I'm kind of like, should I put this on the CMT Firestorm? You know, because
they put the whole tape uncut?
They put the whole tape there, but they put her name on the story. And, you know, I don't know if it's illegal or not to put her name out there. You know, this dude Robert, like, he didn't care. He's like, this is the name of the accuser. He put her name out there and everything. And I'm like, okay, that's what you want to do. So I think there's something behind it. I think it's sort of a retaliation for the Duke Lacrosse when they put her name out there. They put the Duke Lacrosse accuser got name out there. I think he's doing that in retaliation. I just have this feeling. But that's another conversation itself. But what do I think about this situation anyway? Again, you know, they don't want him to win the Heisman. They don't want him to be honored, and they have no choice but to honor him. That's what I love about this. They have no choice but to honor this dude because he's clearly the best quarterback in the country, and there's no question about that. And he's the best freshman quarterback in the history of college football.
He's the best quarterback in the history of college football.
we can argue about that another time, but
did everybody catch that? Does everybody understand what I mean when
Oh my bad, the best freshman. I'm sorry, best freshman. I apologize.
No.
Freshman quarterback in the history of college football. That's what I'm going to say. I'm sorry. That's what's called a Freudian slip.
You said exactly what you mean, and you mean
freshman quarterback. I'm going to say freshman quarterback.
It's called a Freudian slip. You meant it. You guys are real. Clavel's insane. Tex, what do you think about this? The case and with the accuser saying everything coming out.
They're trying out to hold a conference the day before the Heisman Trophy. Just give it up already, man. You know, just
no. I want to say this. No, the legal issues are over. But see, this is the thing, because you got to understand. And when you have a quarterback, and I said this on the Cold Hard Truth a few weeks ago. When you have a quarterback this intelligent, I mean, this guy's a very intelligent guy, one, academically. Two, he's a very intelligent football-wise. Three, he's very talented, clearly. He's a very good athlete. He's pretty much has no weaknesses as the quarterback position. All right? Except for he forces his throws. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the country. Arguably. But if you don't even have the degree with it, you can say he's in the top five or top two. It doesn't even matter. So when this guy gets to the league, if you look at the projection of this guy, if he's going at the rate he's going to be in the league of a Peyton Manning, of a Tom Brady. He's going to be in that league. When he gets to the league, he's going to be the face of a franchise. You don't think so? You don't think this guy has no chance?
I'm going to write Jamie Winston an email. He's going to have to look out for you.
Slow down.
Hold on, first of all, I'm not saying when he gets in the league he's going to be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
You just said that.
No, I didn't. Hold on, listen to me. He has on the projection, son. Projection. I know I get all these messages right now. That's why. The thing is this. Projection.
Who's projecting that,
I'm projecting that, all right? Oh, no, Mel Kiper's projecting that, too. But anyway.
He projected him to be the best quarterback ever.
No, not the best quarterback ever. He did not project him to be the best quarterback ever. I said, if he goes at the rate he's going now, you know, by the time he gets to the league, 3-4 years in the league, he's going to be in the same league as maybe a Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? This guy is very good.
So you like I said, you said he's going to be like Peyton Manning, and I'm saying no, he's not.
Okay, you don't have to agree with that. What I'm saying is the guy is going to be
Nobody
the face of a franchise when he gets. Okay, whatever. I can't even get my point across. Let me get the point.
Michael Vick was the face of a franchise. What does that mean?
He's going to be a good quarterback in the league. That's the point I'm saying. He's going to be a very good quarterback in the league. All right?
Okay.
He's going to be better than Vince Young.
I could possibly agree with that. But do you see the difference between saying that and saying that he's going to be in the same league as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady? You understand how insane that is?
Well, my point is this. When he gets to the league, he could be one of the faces of the league. Let's just put it that way. All right? I'm not saying he's going to be better than Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
What does that mean?
All right, whatever the case is. But the guy's going to be pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Well, Michael Vick's different. Michael Vick, I don't know. It's a different dynamic when you have Michael Vick and you have this guy. This guy is highly intelligent. And I'm just saying, when you have that type of ability, you know what I'm saying, that's kind of threatening to certain people. So, you know, when you're a threatening figure, they're going to put things to bring you down. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the point I'm saying. So when this thing happens on Friday, you know, her goal is to try to make this guy look bad in the public opinion's eye. That's the point I'm saying. They're trying to make him look bad in the court of public opinion. I mean, she'll start off with some sort of line about, you know, all the stuff people have been saying about her and things like that, and then she's going to say, this guy hurt me, this guy did this and this and this, and her lawyer will train her what to say, and, you know, she'll start crying or, well, I don't know, she might not show her face, my bad. Her lawyer will start making some statement to try to make this guy look bad in the public opinion's eye. That's just the point I'm trying to say. And they're doing this because he's a threatening figure. He's a threatening figure because when he gets to the league, he could be the face of the league because he's that good. This guy is that good. But you guys don't have to agree with me. It's whatever.
Well, I mean, I say this. Any potential number one pick has the potential to be the face of the league, but that's all potential. None of that, like I say, look at how close he came to his career being over, you know, right now. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You can't say 3 or 4 years and just assume something. I mean, think about it. His career could have very easily, and his freedom could have very easily been over right now.
Hold on. So you're trying to say this guy could not – hold on. There's a different number one pick in the league, but then, like, people say Andrew Luck. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime. This guy is of that ilk right there. It's like when this guy gets available for the draft, there's going to be teams losing games on purpose to try to get this guy. That's the point I'm trying to say.
No, they won't.
Okay. All right. You don't have to believe me.
Look, I'm just being honest with you. He's not in the same league as Andrew Luck. Not.
All right.
Not by any means. You look where Andrew Luck took Stanford and the players that Stanford had on that offense, and look at what Jameis Winston is doing. I mean, like I said, can we all agree that all three of those wide receivers for Florida State are going to the NFL? Can you at least agree on that, Claudio?
Yeah.
Can you name me any of the wide receivers that played with Andrew Luck?
Kobe Fleener. Kobe Fleener plays in the league.
Who?
Kobe Fleener. He plays for the league. He plays on the same team with Andrew Luck.
Are you talking about a tight end?
He's a receiver. He received the ball.
Oh, my God. See, this is what I'm talking about. Okay. And is it?
Well, first of all, you can't say this guy's not in the same league as Andrew.
Isn't that?
You're trying to tell me this guy's not in the same league as Andrew Luck? Are you kidding me?
Isn't the tight end for FSU rated the number one tight end in the country right now, too?
Yeah, George O'Leary.
Okay, so what is like
know.
I said?
I guess whatever, man. You just don't want to get this guy his props, man. This guy is clearly in the same league as Andrew Luck.
He's good, and he's probably going to be the number one pick, but you're comparing him to people he's not comparing to.
Oh, and you're going to say, hold on, and first of all, you're going to talk about these receivers he has. EJ Manuel had the same receivers last year, and you weren't talking about him.
He was the first quarterback selected.
He wasn't an eighth pick in the draft. He's like in the 20s. But hold on, first of all, a receiver, you weren't even hearing about these receivers last year. A receiver is only as good as the quarterback. No, you were not hearing about these receivers last year. All right? Kelvin Benjamin was horrible last year. And that's why FSU fans were saying that. And look at him now because of the quarterback. So I'm just saying that you're going to say this guy's not in the same league as Andrew Luck? That's ridiculous, man. Come on. This guy's in the same league as Andrew Luck. But it is what it is. I mean, hey, we'll see what happens.
This is insane.
Yep.
I want to let everybody know we're not talking about him.
I see Clydesdale's ankle. But
yeah,
EJ Manuel
was number 16 pick, my bad. Not in the 20s like how you said and not in the 8s like how I said. He was number 16. He was a first quarterback pick. Like I said, if he was a...
But he said this guy's not in the same league as Andrew Luck. That's ridiculous, man. Come on, man.
He's not.
You can't say
this. He's not.
All right, whatever. Whatever.
Name me one expert that you've heard say that besides you.
I'm just going by what I see. I think this guy is in the same league as Andrew Luck, but it is what it is.
Okay,
you don't have to agree with it.
Hey,
we all have agreement. I mean, I'm pretty sure Tex agrees with you too. So it is what it is.
Can you explain any of that though? Can you explain any of that?
Can I explain? You want me to go down a list again? Again?
You never explain how he's like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or any of that. You never explain any of that.
Oh, how? Because I said he's very. Come on, man. What are the fundamental things you need as a quarterback? And what are my three principles? You're accurate, can you make all the throws, and when the game's on the line, can he deliver? He can do all three. He clearly could do all three.
Hold on. You've seen Jameis Winston make all the throws?
Yes, he can make all the throws.
I've seen him make throws go a foot over Kelvin Benjamin's head, and Kelvin Benjamin jump 8 feet in the air and catch it.
That's yeah, but it was designed for him to go up in there. No, whatever. I'm not going to argue no more, man. I'm good. Because all these guys want to get in.
Wide open.
I'm good, man. It's whatever, man.
Okay,
but instead of saying this guy's not in the same league as Andrew Luck, that's ridiculous, man. I'm good.
Mike and Tex, do any of you guys agree that Jameis Winston is in the same league as Andrew Luck?
Not right now.
I say he can have the potential. You know, he has the potential. I mean, he has the, you know what I'm saying, he might have the abilities and skills to do it, but right now to say that
what
is kind of it's kind
what does Andrew Luck have over Jameis Winston? Explain to me. What does Andrew Luck have over
serious,
Jameis Winston?
Clausville?
Tell me. Just tell me then, Tex. Right, are you serious? So just tell me then. Tell me one thing that Andrew Luck has over Jameis Winston in college. Tell me.
Tell me. When Clausville does this, doesn't it make you dislike
him? No, just tell me the answer then.
He always does that, and it makes me dislike whoever he's talking about, even though I like him.
Did you not watch?
I don't care about watching. Just tell me to answer the question, man. Come on, just answer the question.
If you take Andrew Luck off the Colts, Florida State beats them.
See, that's what I'm talking about, man. I just want to know give me one thing that Andrew Luck has in college that Jameis Winston didn't have. Tell me. Tell me one thing.
Better arm and better accuracy.
He has a better arm and better accuracy. Okay. All right, That's good to know. Better decision making.
Luck is much like Peyton running his own offense. Don't have to look to the side.
All right, okay. See, there you go. There you go right there. Okay, Andrew Luck ran his own offense pretty much. Okay, and Jameis Winston listens to Jimbo Spencer. That's a legitimate point right there.
Well, it's not to say one is smarter than the other one, but that's just what it is.
All right.
Andrew Luck is looking at the play clock, running plays.
And so he just – that time he missed, you know, when he was in college.
We just have to wait on it, man. Andrew Luck was the best quarterback prospect I had seen since John Elway. And I'm too young to remember John Elway, at least in college. Now, I remember him in the pros. But, you know, from what I've seen on a tape, or on the film from Elway in his college days, you know, it's. I think it was him, and then it's Andrew Luck. This is a pure quarterback prospect.
You probably say that to.
And you saying Winston is like that, right, man?
Winston's of that league. I think Winston is the best quarterback prospect I've seen in a long time, man. I think he's the best quarterback prospect I've seen in a long time.
I say could, but I wouldn't say that right now, though. I agree with you.
And really, if you look at the statistics, if you go statistically, Winston's statistics is even better than Andrew Luck's statistics. We don't have to go by statistics. I got you. But if you want to talk about just physical gifts, it is what it is, man. We'll see. We'll just see what happens. We'll see.
I ain't gonna knock on that.
I mean, but you want to talk about decision making? What determines decision making? Quarterback rating, accuracy,
Well, I mean, what do you want to talk about, Tex?
Just watch the game. Just watch the game.
The decisions he makes. You don't have to tell the
quarterback.
All right,
man. You're going to say this guy is not in the same league as Andrew Luck? I mean, all right, whatever.
You know what?
I'm good.
I watched Andrew Luck I watched him dictate to defensive backs what they were going to do, and them already knowing what they should do assignment-wise. I watched Andrew Luck dictate to him. I watched Andrew Luck play the quarterback position like he knows what the opposition's defensive backs coach is teaching the defensive backs. Like he knows, okay, this is what your coach is teaching you to do. This is how he teaches you to play. So this is what I do with my shoulders. Just the little subtleties, man. Just, you know, second, third level quarterback. This is what Andrew Luck did at Stanford. It was like he already, you know, it's one thing to be in the huddle, but it's another thing to know how your coach is coaching you. And I'm going to take advantage of it because this is the way your defensive back taught you how to play this. And I'm going to go and I'm going to adjust to that. I'm going to do this. That's the kind of quarterback Andrew Luck was.
All right. We'll just have to see. I think he's in. Okay. I'm pretty sure all the callers are going to agree with you guys. I know James is itching to get on the line, so we can get to the phone callers because I know I've been getting a lot of messages
all right,
about this.
Can you take over the studio call, though?
Yeah, so I'm putting James on, and then I got Watley, and then I got Amari. What's up, James?
Oh man, this is so funny, man. This is always funny, boy. I don't even know how. When he said that thing about him coming into college like he was LeBron James or something. Oh, man. I was laughing even harder than this when he said it way back a few months ago, man. I was like, oh, come on, man. And Joe was hilarious, dude. I'm like, man, I'll put it this way in reference to that. If he had the hype of LeBron James or anything even close to that, then he would have started as a freshman over AJ Manuel. One. So with that being said, I think if he was that good of a quarterback, he would have already been on Florida State. He would have been in his second year at in their offense.
Well,
now,
hold up, James. Michael Vick was a redshirt freshman. Andrew Luck was a redshirt freshman. Andrew Luck was redshirted.
But we would have to trace back to, hey, was Michael
Johnny Manziel was redshirted, too.
Was Michael Vick the undisputed number one recruit coming out of high school, out of Newport News that year? We would have to, like, go through those specific things. See, right now we're bringing up somebody instead of, you know, tracing those that were there a few years ago, or like in Michael Vick's case, what, 1999 or whatever it is, 1998. His first year would have been 98 probably at Virginia Tech. So it's like, hey, we got to, you know, go all the way back to see if you will remember that. Now, the other point
neither,
that I was going to make.
Neither one of them were a number one recruit, unlike Jameis Winston.
Right, see? So, well, there it goes. But the other thing that was pretty funny was the thing about thing with AJ Manuel last year. I think he pretty much lost those two games that Florida State lost last season, especially the Florida game, because they were pretty much in that game against Florida, and then when he threw those key interceptions, that's when Florida took the lead.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry, I was reading some messages from the feedback in the last conversation. What's up?
In that game with Florida State and Florida last year,
mm-hmm.
Florida State did like take the lead, and then I think either Florida like went back and took the lead again in the third quarter or something like that. But when Florida State was driving the ball and they were on the opposite side of the field, like EJ Manuel threw a key interception to to Florida, and then Florida scored a touchdown on that. And then I think in the next position or position after, he threw another interception, and then Florida ran the ball again to score a touchdown to pretty much take the lead for good. So I say E.J. Manuel basically lost that game for him.
Right, that's what I told Watley. That's what I told Watley.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
my point was this. Hey, for someone to say, Watley was saying that if E.J. Manuel was the quarterback of Florida State this year, they would have the same record. I'm like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. I said Winston's clearly the difference. You know, but I think what the outlandish thing that everybody thought I was saying was, this guy's in the same league as Andrew Luck. When he comes out the league, he's going to be in the same league as Andrew Luck. And I don't know why people think that's an insane statement, but, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. Some people ain't seeing what I'm seeing, but it is what it is.
Well, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah. All right, let's move on, man.
All right, we're gonna move on a little topic here. I had to put you on hold, James. I gotta speed it up here. Let me put Watley on.
Hello.
Watley. Yeah.
Y'all here?
Yeah.
All right. Wow, where do I start? Wow. Because I just don't know where to start screaming. Jameis Winston is not anywhere even in the same ball field of an Andrew Luck, a Cam Newton. He's not even in the same atmosphere. That's like being on Earth and being on Mars. They are not the same area. Jameis Winston is doing what he's doing because he hasn't had the play. You ask for something that makes Luck different. Luck played in a tougher conference, and Luck played tougher opponents. Jameis Winston just played Duke for his conference championship. Duke! Do I need to say anything else, Duke? Come on now. There's no way you can compare what Luck did in college against the USC's and other teams to what Jameis Winston did this year against the Cupcake Conference that put Duke in the conference championship.
Okay.
Come on, dude. Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Okay. You're gonna tell me
that tough opponent Duke really showed that Jameis Winston is a great player?
Hey, we'll see. I mean, the national championship is coming. The stage is showing. We'll see at the national championship game. I mean, for you to be to be the consensus Heisman Trophy winner, consensus All-American, if you came out now, you'd be the number one pick in the draft as a redshirt freshman. And to say that, you know, you're not in the same league as Andrew. You're in the same league as Andrew Luck is a blasphemous statement. I don't understand that, you know. But it is what it is, you know.
But it is what it is.
Everybody has their own opinion. It's America, and we can go from there. You can say
right.
The last time
I
got one call.
I mean,
like,
had McCarron won that game, Jameis Winston would not be the Heisman Trophy winner. The only reason Jameis Winston is winning the Heisman Trophy this year is because he's the only quarterback with an undefeated record. Had McCarron won that game against Auburn, Jameis Winston would not win the Heisman Trophy.
Maybe. We'll see. All right, I want to move on to the topic here. Oh, let me put you on hold here. I'm going to put, Amari on. What's up?
What's going on, guys? What's up, Clausel?
What's going on, man? What's good, man?
This reminds me of the lobby so much. I'm just dying over here. I just had to say this real quick. I understand what you're saying, Clausel. My issue is I want people to turn off Mel Kiper and all the garbage
and get rid of all the comments about Andrew Luck being the best quarterback since Elway and watch it for what you see on the field. When Andrew Luck was a redshirt freshman, he threw for like 13 touchdowns. Jameis Winston obviously has better talent. The games that I've seen as a redshirt freshman, better talent. Luck progressed. He became a much better quarterback. I understand what you're saying. I see what you see, Clausell. Now, as far as will he be a franchise leader, I've said it again. It depends on the coach. It depends on the general manager. It depends on who's going to back him. It depends on what city is going to take Jameis Winston. It's more to it than just throwing the ball. You know, I don't care about the competition. People want to say, well, the competition matters. Brady didn't play nobody in college. Drew Brees didn't play anybody in college. I watched Quincy Carter outplay Drew Brees in college. But who's smoking crack and who's leading the Saints? You know, I mean, the reality is Jameis Winston, if he gets with the right organization, that's going to back him. That's going to give him receivers, give him a line like these other quarterbacks get, then we can see his full potential. But if he goes to the Browns, what do people expect?
Well, the thing is, though, Amari, see, the thing is, like, okay, I think that analogy you said applies for somebody like a Teddy Bridgewater. But I think Winston's ability is so good that he can overcome all that. I think he is that good where he can overcome all that.
I know what you're saying. I think he can, but unfortunately, I hate to make it a black-white issue, but for a lot of black quarterbacks, they don't get the support of the city. They don't get the support of the media. They don't get support of the general manager. And we haven't been given the keys to the city or to the team since Randall Cunningham had Chris Carter and Randy Moss. And that team went 15-1. You see what I'm saying? He's going to have talent on the field. Andrew Luck's going to win a Super Bowl because they're going to put talent on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what you're saying in terms of his ability. I think he is in the same league with Andrew Luck. I don't see how he's any different. He's got the arm. He's got the accuracy. To me, what he reminds me of a Division 1A version of Steve McNair. Big size, big arm, playing at Florida State. Same thing. Same thing McNair was doing at Alcorn State. Same exact thing. But McNair did not progress as a passer in the NFL, and we're going to have to see what's going to happen to Winston if he comes back for, let's say, two more years at Florida State. You know?
Well, yeah, this is the thing.
Like I said, that might have been one of the most persuasive arguments in the case of Jameis that I've heard today. Well, it is the most persuasive that I heard in the case of Jameis today. But like I said, I've seen – that's what I'm saying, I can't take Jameis right now because, like you said, I got to see the progression of Andrew Luck to where I was like, okay, this guy's going to get better and better. Like I say, I don't know if Jameis is going to get any better. I mean,
but do you remember what Phil Simms said, though? Remember what Phil Simms said? I mean, Phil Simms was quoted many times saying, I don't see it in Andrew Luck. You pick him and you pray. I mean, I was screaming Russell Wilson before he was a star. I was telling people Russell Wilson was going to be a star. People were like, whatever. But you pick him and you pray. But Phil Simms said Andrew Luck.
I think Phil Simms makes a lot of statements where he has his head stuck in his butt.
Well, I mean,
he said that he didn't think Andrew Luck had
if you look at Andrew Luck, he was saying he doesn't have the live arm. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. I don't even think it's really just so much about that. I think it's more to it with the system. I mean, even with Peyton Manning, they put guys around him. I mean, to make him good. He's not taking the Falcons to the Super Bowl. Let's be honest.
Well, when Peyton gets hurt, the Colts go 2-14.
Oh, I love
you
it.
Know,
Tex
even,
is on. Good to hear you, Tex.
Well, and even Aaron Rodgers. You know,
Aaron
like,
Rodgers
you
is great.
You're seeing the Packers with Aaron Rodgers right now. You know,
well, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. They are game changers. That's what makes them franchise quarterbacks. I don't know. Talent-wise, I feel like Jameis Winston can be in that conversation. We just have to give him a little bit more time. I mean, I would love to see a really good organization draft Jameis Winston. that's going to give him the right coaching and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, because he's not going to be successful if he goes to the Browns. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care. They haven't put a player on that team since Jim Brown. And then they moved the team to Baltimore. So, I mean, he's not going to be successful in Cleveland.
This is going to happen. You know when next year is going to come around. I mean, there's going to be teams lined up, man, trying to get this
dude. Oh, yes, they are. Because
there's
going
to be teams losing games on purpose to try to get this dude.
Well, no, that's what the Colts did to get Andrew Luck. I mean, that's what the Colts did to get Andrew Luck. I mean, the reality is Andrew Luck going to be Peyton Manning? Really? Do people really think that he's going to be better than Peyton Manning?
I don't think he's going to be better than Peyton Manning.
You think he is?
I don't think it's going to be close.
That's true.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's going to be close. You know what? And people can say all they want that, you know, Peyton was off the team. They were 2-14. They were losing those games on purpose to get Andrew Luck. The ownership knows it. Peyton did not want to come back to a rebuilding team. Instead of looking like an ass, he wanted out. It was all by design. It's obvious. He chose his team so he could have a chance to get to the Super Bowl to be better than Tom Brady. Because he has an ego.
I say it was both because, I don't know about
throwing games because, you know, other teams, these guys have to go get jobs after they get cut or after they get paid.
Agree with you, Tex. Yeah. But, I mean, the chance to draft Andrew Luck or bring Peyton back and everybody was, like, saying it was uncertainty, I mean, that's bull crap. I mean, I work in medicine. They knew that Peyton was going to be able to play. When they did the studies on him, they knew it. But the reality was Peyton did not want to come back to the rebuilding Indianapolis Colts.
You know, they were going to contend regardless of what they had. And it's just a risk that they didn't want to take. And I understand why they didn't want to take the risk. I understand why Denver took the risk.
Well, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, they were caught between a rock and a hard place. All I'm saying is that people make it seem like the Colts cut Peyton. No. Peyton didn't want to come back to the Colts with a rebuilding team. And going back to what I was saying with Winston.
I mean, where's the rebuilding at, though? Is there a playoff team?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
He didn't want
to. But they didn't win a Super Bowl.
That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted to win a Super Bowl, and he wanted to contend. And that's going back to the point I was making with Winston. You got to have somebody, general manager, putting some talent on the field. And the question is, I hear what Clausell is saying. Talent-wise, he's there. The talent's not the issue. The question is the general manager going to build a team around him? I mean, go ahead.
Hold on, and I want to say this. And when you say talent, I mean in terms of physical ability and
mental
ability.
Mental, physical, the whole nine
mental
yards.
Mental and physical.
Play. Mental
Whereas
and physical.
Dick.
He can think. He's got a good arm. He's got good legs. I mean, he's going to probably run the same thing that Andrew Luck ran at the combine 4.6. I mean, he's got the physical size. He has the arm strength. He has ball placement. He has the physical ability and the mental ability. The kid was smart. He was a smart kid
in
high school.
Whereas Michael Vick just had the physical.
Michael Vick was an idiot. I used to have season tickets. He was an idiot.
Highly intelligent. So
yes,
I mean,
Michael Vick was an idiot. Okay, he was an idiot.
You know, so I'm saying the Winston has a chance to be a cerebral, even a just as cerebral as Peyton Manning on the field. That's just the point I'm trying to say.
Well, no, I totally agree.
On what are you basing this off of?
Look at how Wiley made the comment. I'll say this real quick. Even Wiley made the comment about E.J. Manuel, and I watched E.J. Manuel for 4 years. He was a good college quarterback. But what E.J. Manuel was a practice player, and that's what got him drafted in the first round. When you see him live, he's 6'5", he's 240, he ran a 4.6, he's strong, he says all the right things, he looks good in practice. But when the lights are on, he doesn't make the plays. This kid makes the plays. Against Miami, I mean, yeah, it's cupcakes, but, hey, he didn't design the schedule. Third down, big plays. E.J. Manuel couldn't make the plays. And that was the difference last year with E.J. Manuel going undefeated. What if E.J. Manuel gone undefeated this year? Probably with the schedule, possibly, because the teams they played weren't good. But could E.J. Manuel beat Auburn or have a chance to beat Auburn national championship? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
And this is the thing, he leads the nation in third down efficiency.
Exactly.
I mean, Tex said something earlier this year. He said he doesn't jump off the screen. I'm sitting up here like, what?
I mean, what games are you watching?
I'm sitting up here
the exact thing. I'm sitting up here
like,
I mean, I just what I'm saying is turn off the TVs and don't listen to all these people on TV, Mel Kiper's, all these guys, and just watch it and make your own decision, your own analysis, because that's what they're doing. They don't have anybody to guide them. You know?
Yeah.
I just don't, like I said, I hope the kid learns from the situation that he was in. I hope that he doesn't make a mistake like that again because his life was at jeopardy. I hope that he gets groomed as he goes to the NFL, and I hope he can eventually be the face of the league. It would be nice to see. But we'll have to see after the Auburn game.
I still stick with what I was saying earlier, that his talent is not three-dimensional. And it's like,
what do you mean by that, though,
Tech? Well, just a guy that just jumps off the screen. Just, you know, and I'm not saying that he's not talented at all. I'm not saying that.
But the receivers last
but,
year for Florida State were there, the same receivers, and they sucked.
Okay.
Benjamin sucked last year. He sucked.
Right,
I live here in Florida.
Well, they're still making plays this year. You're like, what the hell?
But the ball's got to be there. Me and Clausell have watched E.J. Manuel. Benjamin will go down the sideline on the outside, and B.J. Manuel throws the damn ball out of bounds.
Yep.
Well, you look at the Miami game, you look at how he was kind of off, and just all game, these receivers from Florida State, they're just making these catches. You're like, man, how the hell are they making these catches? And then you're going, if this is in the league, we throwing interceptions. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm talking about what I see right there. When I say jump off the screen, I'm talking about three dimensional talent. I'm talking about let me think of some guys who you just knew they could play. And I'm going all the way back to high school. And these are guys that are in the pros now, like somebody like Julius Peppers. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing him. This guy was, like I said, like I be saying, he's three-dimensional in high school. So you knew he was going to the pros as a number one.
Jamal Lewis. I played against Jamal Lewis in high school. Jamal Lewis, prime example. I agree.
Lewis, before his knee injury.
Tore his knees up in high school.
McGahee was like that. Greg Jones was like that.
And
this guy is nothing like that. You saying this guy is not?
I think I know what you're saying. Freakish athlete. He is not. I agree.
Transcendent type players. You know?
This is not Michael Vick with the arm and the head. This is more Steve McNair, in my opinion. That's what I see when I watch this guy play. He's not going to blow by you running the ball. But what he's not going to do is be RG3 and get hurt running stupid down the field. And isn't that what we want the black quarterbacks to be now, pocket passers? I mean, don't we want them to play like Peyton and Drew?
That's what he is.
Isn't that what we've been wanting for the longest? I mean, look at RG3. He can't stay healthy.
He got shut down for the rest of the season.
Right. I mean, and honestly, he's not going to make it. So, I mean, and this is what we wanted as fans of the game. I thought the next Warren Moon-type player, Steve McNair player that can play the game from the pocket because we get criticized for not playing the game from the pocket. And
also,
you can't say his arm is not three-dimensional. His arm is live. Andrew Luck's arm is not that strong.
I don't know. I've been watching Luck since he was down here in high school.
I watch. You know, it's so funny. You know, he's a good player, but he's not like he's zooming the ball. Every now and then he'll rear it back. Winston can rear it back every time. I mean, his arm is much liver than Luck's arm.
It is. It's
well,
much stronger. It's much liver.
Yeah.
To me, he never had the rocket arm. Luck is a precision type passer. I think.
But he's not even at 60% completion for the year.
Well, is.
I mean, he's got drops. Teams drop.
Exactly. They drop a lot of balls.
But, I mean, I've watched him. I mean, his arm doesn't come. I mean, his arm, honestly, it's probably Matt Ryan's arm.
It's a lot more that goes into being a precision passer than completion rating.
But what precision does he have? He's not even at 60%.
Joe Montana wasn't 70%. Joe Montana wasn't a 70% passer, and he was.
Right, I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about in this era. Is he Drew Brees? Does he have that kind of pinpoint accuracy? No, not even close. So I'm trying to figure out what this accuracy and precision you guys are talking about.
I'd say he is very accurate. I'd say he is close to Drew Brees.
Very?
Yeah.
I don't know
what games you're watching where you see him not being accurate, but like I say, I've seen him be highly accurate in mostly all the games I've seen him in.
What
I mean,
game has he completed 75% of his passes this year?
Like I said, there's a lot. I could throw 2 yard outs and have a high percentage rating. What does that mean?
But he's dinking and dunking the ball. He's not pushing the ball the whole game.
This is a quarterback who we know is going to throw the ball 40 and 50 times a game. He's been doing it since he was a rookie because they don't have a running game. So they know what he's going to do, so he's not going to have a high percentage rate.
I mean, I got to quit. I'm going to do a fact check for you real quick. Fact check real quick.
Yeah, we got to hold on.
You got to fact check it real quick, man. 58% this year, 54% last year. It's one of the lowest in the league.
Did you just hear what I'm saying?
No, I hear he doesn't have a running game. He doesn't have a running game.
He's going to throw the ball 40 and 50 times a game like he's been doing since last year. He's not going to have a high percentage rating.
But what about his fumbles? What about his interceptions? He threw 18 picks last year and fumbled the ball 9 times. I mean,
what I'm saying is,
Say it again, Tex.
I agree.
The talent is not there. What I'm saying is, why are we anointing Andrew Luck as the next coming? And you can't even put Jameis Winston
in the I wasn't saying he was the next coming. I was just saying as a quarterback prime. I'm talking about him as just a guy coming out.
Quarterback prospect.
I mean, look at Andrew Luck
and Cam Newton. Who's playing better? I mean, Cam's got a better defense, but offensively, who's playing better?
Hold up, Amari, real quick.
Yes.
So you're saying, hold on, I think as a prospect, I think I put Winston in the same league as Andrew Luck. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
I think he is up there with Andrew Luck.
I think I put him as a prospect. I put him in the same league as Andrew Luck.
I think he is as a prospect.
All right,
I mean, that's
good, and you guys can think that. You guys are the only people that think that in the country.
I got people messaging me right now that think the same thing.
Like I said, you can watch the games. You can watch the games and get what you can get from them. But I mean, let's agree to disagree. Obviously, you guys watch games and got something completely different than what everybody else got. So I mean, let's just agree to disagree and let's move on because obviously we're not getting over with that point.
Who is that talking real quick? So I know who I'm talking.
Callie Mike.
That's Callie Mike, and there's another Mike.
I'm getting messages. There's some people that agree with us, so I mean, it is what it is. Hey, I'm gonna put you on hold here, Amari. We about to move the conversation forward.
Okay, that's cool.
Get on Facebook.
All right, hold on. Let's switch this up a little bit. Shucks, you guys, man. I don't know where I'm at here. What you guys want to talk about? I don't have the list here. RG3 is going to be bitched for the rest of the year, and Mike Shanahan has made that decision. I'm not sure if the owner has backed him up or not. I want to get you guys' opinion on that.
They said Snyder's backed it. He's with him on it.
Okay, so Dan Snyder's backed it. So what's your guys' opinion? Oh, man, shucks. We got to get into this topic again. I'm sorry. We're not going to get to that. We're going to get to that topic next. Alabama and Nick Saban. Let's get into that real quick. What's your take on it? Why would Nick Saban want to leave Alabama? I know it's 10:15, but we got to talk about this right here. So what's your take on should Nick Saban leave? I'm going to get your opinion last, Tex. What's your opinion, Callie Mike, first?
Easy. $100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, why would he want to leave an institution where he's already won 3 national championships?
Let me explain to you again. $100 million and 1% of the Big 12 network. Come on, man.
Actually, 30%. That itself is $100 million right there.
Yeah.
30%, and you know this. It just continues to add up, and it's what I've said in the past, Claus. You've heard me say this. These SEC jobs are not ideal coaching jobs.
Because why not?
You have the backyard. I mean, because in Tuscaloosa, what is there but football? Or Knoxville or Starkville or Oxford. You know, it's people looking in your backyard and parking across the street from your house and bothering you. That's where if you go to Austin, nobody gives a damn.
Really?
Nobody cares. No.
Really?
No, nobody cares. Everybody too busy living their life.
No, I've been to Austin, Texas before. It's different between you can't compare California, Los Angeles to Austin.
Nobody,
no. Texas,
man.
I know Austin's relatively a big city, but it's still Texas there. Austin is still Texas. It ain't California. You can't compare that.
Hey man. Jethro and Mary Beth ain't looking through your bedroom window in Austin. Now, they doing that in Tuscaloosa. So you don't want to...
I don't know about that. I kind of disagree with that. I see where you're coming from. I respectfully disagree. But keep going.
All right. Okay. And then you get the 30% of the Longhorn Network. And another thing that I heard brought up earlier today... And I thought about this actually when I first heard it. You know, Saban's in the real estate. So what if a real estate deal gone bad? Bama, can you bail me out? Texas will bail him out. So I mean, it's just different kind of stuff. Oh, Texas, can you get me an extra trainer here or an extra coach here or
they wouldn't do that in Alabama.
No. Add on something here to the weight room. Can you get me this type of facility? Can you get me more of what I need more than what Alabama would? And perks like this extend beyond football. So a lot of
you don't
stuff
think
ain't
they
got
would
do. No, I'm not saying that they wouldn't do it. But I'm saying you can go to Austin and live comfortably. And be okay as opposed to, you know, being in Alabama and being bothered where it's stuff to do in Austin. It ain't nothing to do in Alabama.
Well, first and foremost, the guy's 62 years old. So when you're 62 years old, it ain't like you're trying to go out to the strip in Austin. You know what I mean? It ain't like you're going out there.
Nobody's saying that.
So that's the thing. So when he's that age, I don't see the benefit of, like, having things to do, and he has a lot of money anyway. So
you don't see the benefits over being in Texas than being in Alabama.
Exactly.
For a 62-year-old person. For a 62-year-old person.
Man.
No, for a 62-year-old person. Oh, it's a completely different dynamic.
It don't matter.
No state tax. Come on.
And he already has millions in Alabama. All right, whatever. I don't think it'd be smart for him to leave.
Does Alabama go off from 10-year, $100 million plus other?
Probably not. Probably not. My thing is this.
And the Bama AD ain't even worried about saving right now. He really ain't.
All right, man. Let me hold up. Okay, well, I guess Tech already said that.
Tech, they're not worried. They got who's their backup plan then if he's not worried about it.
I don't know. I'm not in the know.
All right, let me bring in.
I don't know this though, Clausel.
Yeah, say what you
say. I heard this though. When I was hearing about it the other night. They were saying a guy don't sleep on where his name might pop up if they don't get savings. And it was talking about Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's what Kirk Herbstreit said. All right, let me put in these calls here. I got the lines are loaded up here. Let me get James first. I got you, Wiley, and then I got Matt. What's good? James.
Man, I mean, you just got to see that Texas is one of the biggest, you know, football programs in the country, bar none. I think we pretty much forgot about the instance where they were considering joining the Pac-12 and, you know, becoming and joining with Oklahoma to become like the Pac-16, which would have thrown college football for a loop big time, whether they would have had a playoffs or not. So if there's like any college program in the country that's bigger than anybody, it's Texas, and that's all I got to say about that.
Also, too, they remember they was going to join the – it was speculation about them being one of the teams to join the SEC, too.
All right. Let me put –
I mean, honestly, Caldwell, look at the players that Texas lost out on because Mack Brown was being an idiot.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel, James Winston, RG.
And it's all the talent. And Texas had that talent when we was at FAMU. Look at that Texas 1000 in 2001. I mean –
That was them screwing over Applewhite. That was different. That was kind of different.
That too, but yeah, we all know what the problem
is. Yeah,
that's
I think the fans out of Texas coming out now. But all right, let me put this is Watley here. Watley.
First and foremost, all you people from Texas, the Texas football program is not the best football program in America. Y'all don't fell and bump y'all's damn head. Alabama's program is way more historic than Texas's program. Did you guys forget Alabama's won more national championships than Texas combined? Come
nobody
on.
That, but okay, go ahead.
Texas got money, though.
Yeah, they got money, but.
Don't you think Alabama ain't got money?
No. They got
just
money.
Because,
but Texas,
just because it's the
Texas
South
got,
and they're a bunch
Texas,
of good old boys
hey,
don't
hey,
mean they ain't got
hey,
no money. You
hey,
you better you better
Texas,
think.
Look here.
Texas
got
and Alabama
give you,
money
Texas,
nowhere near the same thing.
Hey, Texas got we'll give you 30% of the network money. We'll give you an extra
exactly.
100 on top of the 100 you get.
Exactly.
All right.
Texas got money to where they're down there in the Yankee Cowboys area. That's the kind of money
exactly.
they got.
The Big 12.
If they had,
but it ain't really about the money because
he
already has a lot of money. That's the point I'm trying to say. He already has a lot of money.
Are you crazy, Carl? This is all about money.
More money, you know.
There's about
more money is better. More money.
Really? So if you have $100 million. So if you already made over $100 million, right, so it's like, okay, somebody offers you an extra $200 million, you're like, if you're already happy with $100 million, what's the big deal?
Only
you're
going to
spend all
like
of
that.
It.
Only broke, you'll never be rich thinking like that, Caldwell. Only broke people think like that.
If you say
I'm
so.
I'm not going to deny
that. Actually, the broke people, believe it or not, broke people think like what you're saying, actually, Callie Mike. But anyway, keep going.
I'm not going to deny that Texas might be able to offer him more money. And if he's all about the money, then he may go. But Texas ain't going to be able to come to Nick Saban while he is at the University of Alabama and tell him that the program at Texas is more historic than the program he's at. That is bull.
Nobody
said that.
Nobody said that, Tony.
Ain't about that.
No, you guys are talking about the program at Texas. The program at Texas ain't got nothing on the program at Alabama. Nothing.
Okay.
Tony, nobody's even talking about what you're talking about.
You heard that text? You heard that text? I hope you let that marinate.
I hate Texas. But in terms of
national championships, in terms of how you go about putting together a football team for the entire community and state in terms of who supports you, in terms of history, in terms of how America sees your team, there is no way you would go around America and ask them which team is better, Texas or Alabama, and you have more than 2 out of 10 people say Texas,
so
and they both came from Austin.
Do you think Nick Saban could come here where, besides Florida, Texas has the most talent? You don't think he could come here and build a team in Texas? Build a
immediately.
I'm a little skeptical about that.
Could
he build a team? Oh, yeah, he could build a team.
That program still will never meet Alabama.
Exactly, it won't. I don't think it will either.
All right. Well, what does it matter when you're getting to – it don't matter when you get $200 million, though, does it? Bama paid $200 million.
Oh, I agree. If he's a man that's all about money, then
money is what talks to him. But if money is not what talks to him and legacy is what talks to him, then he wants to be where Bear Bryant was. He don't want to be where Coach Brown was. I guarantee you that.
And I think he stays at Alabama. But okay, you know,
yeah, I think
if Texas want to pay him $300 million, this is a hypothetical. If they want to pay him $300 million, they're going to do it. It don't matter.
Okay,
they,
but if he don't care about $300 million, they can offer him $1 billion. If he don't care about the money, then the money ain't going to matter.
All right, he'll field a contender for Texas, and I hate to say that because, again, I hate Texas. So.
Yeah, Texas.
I don't think he's leaving. I think Texas should get Gus Malzahn. That's who they should be going after. They should be going after Gus Malzahn. But if they want Saban, then go get him.
After one year, he kind of, you know, he got to kind of prove his worth before going all that, throwing money like that. But the Gus guy.
Well, you get him for cheap now.
In Texas, that whole statement about people don't pay attention as much in Austin to Texas as people do in Alabama to Alabama. That's because in Austin, Texas sucks. You know, if they had a better team, people would be looking in his window.
No, that's because in Austin, you have 6th Street, and we have girls, and we go drink, and then we go get the girls.
So they don't do that now in Tuscaloosa? You trying to tell me they don't do that in Tuscaloosa?
Then more people would care about what's going on in the coaching. But because their team sucks, nobody cares about the Texas Longhorns.
You trying to tell me?
Okay. Boston's a big
Texas fan, but money talk, BS walk. Period.
Let me put Matt on
Wiley.
All right.
We're gonna get one more topic and then one more topic after to get the call.
I guess we should ask the panel. Does Saban go to Texas or he stays at Bama?
Let's let Matt say something and then we'll answer. Then I got David after that.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, I've looked at everything, and I can't really say what he's going to do. I have no clue. I know he had a contract extension that he just signed, and then all this Mac Brown stuff started going down, and now he has a new extension that's supposed to be more sweet, a sweet of a deal. The Alabama thing on his desk since Friday. And he hasn't done anything with it, one, because he's been recruiting, two, he's preparing for a bowl game, and three, he's probably looking at his options. Now, if I put myself in his position, you have to understand what kind of person he is. He's, and I said this to Costello earlier, he's like the Bill Parcells of college football. He, like, goes places, builds up programs, wins a national title, and then split. It doesn't matter if he's winning national titles there currently. It doesn't matter. Because now kinda like I don't know, some guys find they never get married because they always want to try something new. You know what I mean? He's like that. He's like, okay, I won 3 national titles here. I get top recruiting classes every year, but you know what? Maybe I'll get paid more money, which I don't think is really the big deal. Maybe I could actually go to a city that's a city, because Austin's actually one of the top 5 cities to live in the United States. He could probably go to Barnes & Noble in the grocery store and not be bombarded by people. Oh, also, he could also miss a field goal and not get death threats. So, you know, passion is a two-edged sword. Your passion, your fans love you. The passion, they're going to love you. You F up, they're going to hate you. So maybe he wants to get rid of a little bit of that passion and do something that's better for him.
Too heavy in Bama. Uh-oh, it's too heavy. Let's go to Austin where, you know, they don't get mad at me because I lost one game.
Because most people don't move to Austin for football.
Yeah, people aren't going to come to my house Austin. And be protesting outside my house.
People move to Austin for the culture, for the music, for the city, for the scenery, for no state taxes. They moved to Austin, you know, that's why they moved to Austin. It's centrally located. It's 2 hours from Houston and San Antonio. It's an hour and a half from Dallas. It's, what, 45 minutes from Fort Worth? You can go to Six Flags in 45 minutes to an hour. It's very centrally located. You can be just about everywhere in the state within 3 hours.
The funny thing is, I told Clausel all this before. I told him, I said, when's the last time you ever heard somebody say, I want to move to Alabama?
Hold on. First of all, Nick Saban was in Miami. He was in the Miami Dolphins, and he went to Alabama. He went to Tuscaloosa. He went to Alabama for less money. He left the job. He left. He wasn't fired for the Dolphins. He left. He left that job to go to Alabama. You just keep that in mind, Cali Mike.
But here's why.
He wasn't cutting it with the Dolphins. He wasn't cutting
it. Fired. He wasn't fired. Wayne Huizenga wanted him back.
You know, he might have made a mistake going to the NFL.
That's why Wayne Huizenga ain't the owner no more.
I'm going to explain that real quick. I've been talking about this on my show for a couple weeks. People keep looking at, you know, who's the next in line for these college jobs. And a lot of people look at former college coaches and assistants. I think people are going the wrong way. Look at all this current health problems with these head coaches. You know, partial strokes, heart, 99% blockage in his artery, had a, you know, a health complication, 80, 90 hours a week. College, you can't do that. You're limited, 35 hours a week. That's it. You're done. It's a rule. You can't work more than that. But you know what? If you can get paid what you get paid in the pros, and I think as a coaching job of a college to coach for, I think Texas is top five for coaching jobs. May not be the best program, but we're talking about football program. I think we're kind of confusing saying who's the best college football program and who's the best job. Again, because you're looking at location, you're looking at the front office. You're looking at everything that comes with the job. Austin, the city, is part of that. I mean,
man, SEC job ain't no ideal job, man. Too much stuff to deal with.
I would take
too
Texas.
Much to deal with.
I mean, Texas over that. I mean, the cost of living in
USC.
I mean,
over that. USC over that.
Texas might be the best job in the country. If you take all the factors and include them.
Well, look,
all you got to do is look at Mac Brown. He's not being fired. He's about to step down. You know, so that lets you know.
I think he'll step down. It'll be similar to kind of the role that Tom Osborne's playing in Nebraska right now. He is not an athletic. He's not officially a member of the football program. And they might even make him officially part of the administrative staff. He might even go out and still recruit. That's probably why he's still down in Miami, busting his high end, trying to recruit for Texas. Because he's probably going to continue to recruit for them and help bring in kids. That's why they want to stay in good graces. But he wants to keep coaching. They're just saying he's not effective.
Yeah, but he's
like
the same
age. Before, Clausel,
Nick Saban wants to move.
Nobody wants to move to Alabama.
But Nick Saban did.
You don't
and
want.
Now
him.
He's moving to Texas.
You don't know that. I was kind of thinking.
Clausel, you realize you're from Alabama. You haven't moved back there.
Exactly.
I would live there more than I would live in California. But anyway.
You're lying. You told me a couple of months ago, you went to move out here and go to Berkeley or something. You're lying. So don't tell me that. Like I said,
I just go for school. I wouldn't live out there.
Like I said, I noticed you haven't moved.
Just for school. I wouldn't live out there. Heck no, I wouldn't live out there. But anyway,
like I said,
hold on, Matt.
I noticed you haven't moved to Tuscaloosa. Cause I see you're nice and in Tampa right now. You like it there.
Yeah, whatever. Let me. I got to put you on hold here. We're going to get one more topic here, Matt, and then
Oh, yeah, I guess
we're,
tag,
I got
to
I got
to tag go. Is he going to stay or go?
I got to go.
Okay.
Y'all have
all
fun.
Right.
I just want to get in on one topic tonight. Oh, by the way, Mike Glennon is the best quarterback in this most recent draft. Check the statistics I sent him to all of you. I'm out.
All right, Matt.
All right, we got the call here. Dave.
Josh Freeman.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll
you're
just,
on.
Y'all go ahead.
Y'all just listen. Y'all go ahead. I know y'all cut off. I just listened on the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into the RG3 Shanahan situation. I'm going to put James on at the same time. So what's your guys' opinion on, what's happening with RG3? Is this the right thing to do in regards to putting them out for the rest of the season?
Remember I said it 2 weeks ago. I was like, there's folks that say Kirk Cousins is about to be, like I said, and it happened.
I was the first person to say this. I've been saying this since Josh Freeman was getting cut. I said, this is symbolic. I said, this situation is symbolic.
I said,
this situation is symbolic.
Bringing Josh Freeman into these arguments.
Because this is related.
This is RG3 isn't going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
He's a future of the Redskins.
That's what the media is saying. That is what the media is saying.
Josh Freeman.
All right. Okay. I'm good.
You guys
keep listening to what they're telling you on TV. Okay.
Not listening to it. I think RG3 just needs to get healthy. He just needs to, he's got a rebound. He has an asshole coach with him.
He's still a rebound.
He's not going anywhere. It's up to RG3. If he's a smart kid. I think he's mentally weak. But I think he's a smart kid. The dude is not, he's not an idiot, but, he's
no,
kind
of. I know I said he was an idiot. What are you talking about?
Sometimes you'd be like, he's weak mentally. And they'll be
I never said that. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about how some folks might, how some people, they interpret.
I got you. I got you.
They interpret what I said. I think he's mentally weak, but he's a smart kid. But to me, he just, he has not a set of nuts sometimes. So he's not going anywhere. He's the future. They gave up all that to keep him. You keep him around, and he's talented. And you get a coach to bring it out of him. Shanahan now. These folks coming out, and they're like, former GMs was like, man, Shanahan was foolish to draft Cousins, but that's Shanahan though, so his ass will be gone at the end of the year.
That's what I was gonna say. It's probably good back to what McNabb was saying at the start of the season that you don't think Shanahan's a fit for RG3. Now RG3 now is saying it, so now as I'm saying now it's probably good is that's them to sit down and rest because we know. Most likely that Mike Shanahan, if the Redskins smart, shouldn't be back next year as the head coach and then bring in someone new because obviously those two are not meshing, and RG3 is the franchise.
All right.
I mean, like Tech said, what round was Kirk Cousins drafted in? The third? Was he a third round pick?
Second round.
Fourth round.
Second? Are you fourth?
Fourth round.
I mean, they couldn't use that pick to draft a wide receiver or another blocker. You know what I mean? What coach does that?
You're going to take a quarterback to give all that? Yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Like I said, RG3 should have listened to McNabb. Okay, what's the breaking news?
Oh, yeah, I said that at the beginning of the year with RG3 and McNabb. Didn't I say that? I said that. But no,
talked about it. Mike said it too. He was bringing it up. We all had kind of discussed and said something about it.
Well, the thing is, RG3 is aware of the situation. He was like, since McNabb and Shanahan ain't really seeing eye to eye, he said, this ain't really the best time to talk to McNabb. That's what RG3 said to the media. So I understand where RG3 is coming from. But the breaking news is basically the accuser of Winston's accuser said the press conference is going to be good. So I put that on the CMT Firestorm website.
She said the press conference is going to be good.
Yeah, she said it's going to be some interesting stuff being said. Let's just put it that way.
What does that mean? I don't even know this girl, but I'm starting to dislike her. What does that mean? It's going to be good. I don't get it. It's like, what does she gain out of this? It's like, I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. It's like I say, now it's like she's going out of her way to try to ruin dude. You know, and I don't like that. I don't like when and the media enables these people to do it. You know.
You better put it on TV. I mean, shoot, she's a nobody. She's just trying to be famous.
Like I said, that's the one problem that I have with these rape shield laws. You know, it's like, first of all, it's like, bro, you're coming out and doing a press conference. Now you're saying that it's going to be good. But before you didn't want to release your identity, but now you want to do a press conference, right? You know, it's like, come on, dude. You know? When, you know, it's like, you know, like I said, this is going to follow him for the rest of his life. You know, just like it follows, you know, just like people still talk about Kobe. You know, like I said, it's going to follow him for the rest of his life. It's a chick who had two different types of semen in her pants. But nobody likes to mention that, though. But like I said, this is going to follow him for the rest of his life.
Yep, and they're going to talk about it. You know, of course, the day he gets drafted on the NFL draft, let's say,
it's going
to
follow him for the rest of his life.
All right, hold up. We got to push it on here now. James, you got something to say?
I mean, this is basically a war between RG3, Shanahan, and Dan Snyder, basically. And Dan Snyder is the one that's going to have the final say. So, guess what? Goodbye, Shanahan, and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say this about, I heard this about with Dan Snyder. So I heard that they were saying that Dan Snyder was going to fire Shanahan and not pay the remaining years of his contract. Did y'all hear something about that? They were talking about that yesterday.
I don't see how he could do that, you know, as a contract.
I was like, wow.
Like I said, unless they have some kind of crazy clause there that's made up. So anyway, let's move on.
Let me put Watley on.
All right.
Watley?
Personally, I think this whole thing about RG3 is much ado about nothing. First and foremost, RG3 was put back in this year injured. He shouldn't have been playing to begin with, but he, being the athlete and the person that he is, wanted to be out there and wanted to play. Then he gets out there, and it's obvious that physically he might be able to be out there, but psychologically and mentally he knows that he is not 100%. So he is playing with that knowledge in his head that he's not 100%, and that's making him make mistakes. Then he's out there getting hit, and like you guys keep saying, they invested a whole lot of money in this young man, and I truly believe they understand that they're out of the playoffs race. They're not going to be in the playoffs. And the best thing for them to do is take him out, let him recover, and start fresh next year. I don't think this has anything to do with Shanahan. I don't think this has anything to do with them being mad at RG3. I think it is a calculated business decision that we have invested too much money, and we know we're not going to the playoffs, for us to go and have him get hurt in games that don't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense what you're saying, but that, you know.
I think it's a calculated business decision, and I think it's a very smart one. They're out of the playoffs. They know they're not going to make the playoffs. Why take your star quarterback and get him hurt in two or three games that don't count for you anyway? So they're going to bench him. They're going to let the backup finish up the year. They're going to let him recover, and they're going to bring him back fresh next year.
Why'd they let him play injured in the first place then?
Yeah, why they playing last year?
He was telling them that he could do it. He was telling them that he was ready. And physically, all they could see
was where did RG3 get his doctorate from?
But the thing is, there is a difference between a mental and a physical limitation. And I think physically he looked like he was 100%, but psychologically he knew he wasn't 100%. And that psychological element showed up in his play on the field. And that's why he did the things he did on the field, is because he knew psychologically his ailment was still bothering him in his mind, whether it was actually bothering him in his physical body or not.
But, Tony, do you think Mike Shanahan will be back as the Redskins head coach next year?
Why you ask that?
Shanahan shouldn't have been that this year. But
I don't know.
You know, Snyder.
I was saying his point.
Snyder is kind of like Jerry Jones. You know, he's one of those guys. He's gonna do what he wants to do, and he don't care what nobody thinks, and he don't care what nobody says, and you know, he's gonna stick to what he wants to do, and that's it. So,
man, Mike, you know
I personally don't think Shanahan should have been there this year, but who knows.
I just want to That's what I was saying. The reason why I asked that because he was saying it was a business decision. I was saying, Tony, I think it's probably good that RG3 is nah,
anyway. Should I talk tech? Him and RG3 don't get along. That's why I was saying, like, I think it's probably good. And since Shanahan's not going to be back next year, no more damage, no more problems.
Well, he's just an asshole anyway. That's why he ain't coming back, because he's an asshole.
I'm glad you personally know him, Tex.
Nah, he is an asshole. Look at him and all his other stops. He really is.
You don't know that man. How you know he an asshole?
Hey.
That's what I've been saying about Sandy. I know he deals with the players.
Yeah, professionally he is.
I have to be the star. Oh, I got to draft Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, professionally he's won. Wiley, he's won professionally.
Okay.
There's a lot of players.
Just because he is a tough, hard-nosed coach does not make him an asshole person.
Hard-nosed coach.
No, as I said, professionally he is.
The man has two Super Bowls. He knows something. You can say what you want to say, but any man that can take a team to two Super Bowls back to back must know what he's doing. So you can say what you want.
Yeah, Josh John Elway and Terrell
can't
Davis.
Can't say that with that quarterback he got sitting there, can he?
Yeah, I think Terrell Davis know where he going when he running the ball.
Hold on,
Terrell
you got something
Davis,
to say?
Terrell Davis used to say, dude was a butthead. This dude used to want Terrell Davis to go in when he was having migraine headaches, dude. You know what a migraine is?
Wanted to get rid of Clinton Portis. Coming off back-to-back 1,500-yard season because Portis couldn't be the star. And Shanahan and his system had to be the star. And, a Miami running back? Really? You sent a Miami running back packing? You're an asshole.
All right. Hey, David, you got something to say?
No, man, I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I think he's an a-hole, too, professionally. I don't know him personally, so I can't say that. But a lot of players came out and said bad things about Shanahan, you know. But it is what it is, man. All right, we're about to wrap this up, man. Any final things you got to say?
I was going to say, Monday, is it Thursday night or Monday night game with Denver? That's going to be a good game.
All right. What about this Sunday? You going to the game this Sunday, Wiley?
Yeah, you going?
I'm going to try to see out some tickets.
All right.
the Niners are coming.
I get to see Kaepernick.
So, you know, anybody else? Cali, Mike, Tex, you guys got something to say?
I guess we still.
I don't have anything to say other than I'm tired of the Dallas Cowboys.
Amen. Amen. Pat you on the back for that one, my brother.
Unless
Jerry Jones changes his mind, I guess they said Gary's going to be back next year.
And I'm tired. I'm tired of Jerry. And you know what? Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones need to shut up. Okay, fine. Ware hasn't played well. Oh, you shut up. You haven't even put – I'm just tired. Now I used to not get angry because I know what to expect when you know what apple pie tastes like, you don't get too excited to eat it. You know what I'm saying? But now I just want them to get the hell on, man. Quit doing this, man. Why are you doing this? I mean,
arrogant.
You know
why he's doing it.
Why DeMarcus Ware, too.
out of all the players, why wear
simple Erica.
I mean, I do have one thing I want to say, Claude, and I'll elaborate on that in a couple of future shows when we probably do our draft special. But the same quarterback that I said was going to go number one 2 years ago, Kent Starr is going to go number one this year.
Who are you talking about, Mariota?
Who's
going number one this year?
Derek Carr.
Oh.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, are you on the record with that?
I was on the record with it 2 years ago. I said it 2 years ago.
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert Jr. That's all it is. All right. Well, I may be wrong. If
okay,
I'm wrong, I'll be the first. I never saw him play this year.
Like I said, even though they play different systems and are completely different quarterbacks, okay.
Yeah, but, I've never seen him. I haven't seen him play that much. I've seen him play once or twice. He looked okay, you know. But, you know. Now that when Tex talk about jump out the screen, he didn't really jump out the screen to me. But we'll see. I hope I'm wrong.
Obviously,
I hope he does well. I hope Teddy Bridgewater does
so.
Well. That's what I really want to see do well. I want to see Teddy Bridgewater do well. I still take Winston right now over him, but I want him to do well. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I didn't mention this. Somebody needs to do something. Like you said, Clausell. Somebody need to put this hoe from Florida State on check. Somebody need to call her out. You know, she wants to go have a press conference. Every nigga that don't hit that in the last 3 years should get together and have a press conference and say, we did a circle with her, and she hit every one of us. So she was shutting her mouth.
The second player, I think I sent Texas. The second player, the second guy who had a DNA in her pants is a football player at Kent State University. Just put that out there.
At Kent State?
Yo, ho!
In Ohio.
He's
from the same, no, they went to high school together in, Zephyr Hills, Florida. They went to the same high school together. So I guess that's her boyfriend or buddy, whatever,
okay, so,
sex buddy, I don't know.
So he was at Potbelly Sue, and she had sex with him, and they went and had sex with him.
Well, I don't know the situation, but basically, no, but, well, I don't know. Maybe he was in town or something.
Yeah,
I don't know the situation. But that's the second
guy's DNA. I'm telling you what happened. Somebody don't told him. They saw her screwing around with Jameis Winston. They were dating or whatever. Dude got mad. They had an argument. She had to defend herself or keep herself from losing him, so she called rape. It happens every day, people. I'm telling you, football players get caught up in it all the time, where them girls are sneaking to the dorms, getting a piece, getting caught coming out of the dorms and screaming rape. It happens every year.
All right. Well, for the female listeners, that's just Tony Watley's opinion.
I heard stories.
But anyway.
It does.
All right. We gotta, I'm going to wrap it up, man. Long day tomorrow again. So,
I say this as we talk about this. I don't know, you know, y'all might know who that reality star is, but Miss Evelyn got Carl Crawford. He's the baby daddy.
Yep.
Carl Crawford, my friend.
Man, we don't care about Evelyn.
No, I just had to bring that to the stage. He the baby daddy.
Yeah, we don't, right, man.
Thank you, Meg.
All right, yeah, but brothers, you know, you gotta put the strap on. You know what I mean? The child support payment.
Oh, and I want to say one more thing before we wrap it up. I don't know if you guys heard these comments that were made by Jim Brown, by Kobe, but I think Jim Brown was out of line. I mean, like I said, I got to be honest. I usually agree with a lot of stuff Jim Brown says, but I think he was out of line for putting Kobe on blast like that. And that's all.
Oh yeah, he doesn't fit his thug role or something like that. I don't know, but it is what it is.
What do you say, Mike? I didn't hear about it. What do you say, Mike?
I don't know. I'll bring it back up next show. We got to hurry and cut out.
Calling Kobe an Uncle Tom in another way. Basically,
that's all he's saying.
I'm from the hood type of crap, whatever. You know, that's type of stuff that people say. You know how it is, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. We got to head out now. Thanks for calling. CMC Firestorm. We'll be here next week. If you want to listen to the show, we'll have it on our Facebook page, our Twitter page. You know, peace and love. Make sure you listen next week for raw, raw, objective, unedited, objective analysis on college and pro football. You have a good afternoon. Peace.
Bye-bye, everybody.